What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of No Winter in San Diego, a sports and comedy podcast that we do once a week where we talk sports and crack jokes while we do it. I'm Black Rob, and as always, I got my boy Dally B here with me. What's up with you, D?
Man, same old shit, same old shit.
Mm-hmm. That's what's up. You a little bit more excited about your Raiders this week, I see.
Man, all I gotta say is, nigga, I'm back, nigga, I'm back, nigga.
I'm back with the motherfucking Raider Nation, nigga. Bang, bang.
Dog pound gangsta.
Fuck everybody.
I'm back.
Alright, well, we'll get to that in a minute, man. But first, I want to thank everybody who took the time to listen and download the show last week, man. We got into the top 100 of sports podcasts on Podomatic last week. It was up around 80-something. I don't remember exactly where, but that's what's up. That's one of our best weeks ever, man. We appreciate everyone who's listening every week, spreading the word, man. We can't thank y'all enough, man. As always, we tell you, you know, you can find the show on iTunes, on Stitcher, on Podomatic. All you got to do is search for No Winter in San Diego. That's the best way to find the show. Subscribe either on iTunes, subscribe on Podomatic, and leave us a 5-star review, man. Those reviews really help to boost us up in those rankings. Support the show. If you fuck with us and you want to support the show, man, that's the best way to do it. Subscribe and leave us a review. Speaking of subscribers, we got a new subscriber this week. Greg A. Subscribed to the podcast. That's your cousin, right?
Yeah, that's my relative, man. He's from the Dirty, you know, right. Louisiana. And appreciate it, relative.
That's what's up, man. Appreciate you, Greg. Hopefully, we should be seeing a lot more downloads out of Louisiana over the next couple weeks now. Mm-hmm. Get down there and spread the word to all these people down in the Dirty South.
Dirty South, the boot.
That's what's up. No reviews this week, at least none. Let me see. I'm checking on iTunes right now, but we didn't get any reviews on Stitcher. No reviews on iTunes yet, or we don't have enough for them to display it. So, hey, man, spread the word. Tell everybody, if you spread the word to some people and you got them listening every week, tell them to leave a review. Leave a 5-star review. Say whatever the fuck you want about us. We'll read it on the show if you leave us 5 stars.
Well, if they say, nigga, you whack,
we gonna read it. Hey, shout out to the Black Guy Who Tips, man. That's what they do on their podcast. If you leave them a 5-star review, they'll read it no matter what. And a lot of podcasts do that now, where, you know, they kind of started that trend where if you leave a 5-star review, no matter what the fuck you say, they'll read it. So
okay.
I fuck with that too, man, because we need them reviews.
Yeah, shit.
You can say YouTube coon ass,
yeah.
Ignorant ass niggas. I hate y'all. I'll read that shit.
I'm gonna come find your ass, dog.
You stupid. Let's see. Oh yeah,
that is some good shit.
Hey man, we laughing because we got the tournament on TV right now, and they keep showing this kid. If you're watching the Kansas Stanford game today, then you know what we talking about. They kept showing this kid. How old you think he was?
He probably, you know, 11, 12, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, he's a Kansas fan. He's in the crowd. And they keep showing his reaction shots. And this nigga was boo-hooing.
Man.
Just, I mean, crying hard as fuck. Because Kansas lost to Stanford.
Oh, man. Ain't that serious, young man. Damn.
Have you ever cried over, like, one of your teams losing?
Never.
I don't think I have either.
Never. That's his parents' fault, though.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We're going to talk about some bad parenting in a minute as we get later into the show. But as we always do, man, we try to keep it as interactive as possible. The best way to hit us up, if you want to get in touch with us, nowinterinsandiego@gmail.com. You send us an email, we'll definitely take the time to read it on the show, man. So that's what we always start off with. Get right into these emails. We only got a couple emails this week. Both come from our executive producer, Bob Okinwa. Hit us up.
Bobo.
First one he hit us up with was about NFL egos. He says, these NFL executives have gotten too full of themselves lately. Reggie McKenzie butted heads with Hugh Jackson and fired the coach. San Francisco's GM was on the verge of getting rid of Harbaugh also. These dudes need to remember the 2006 Chargers and how the franchise was set back when A.J. Smith fired Schottenheimer since they couldn't get along. I'm always going to take a coach over a GM any day of the week. And he says, by the way, I'm still laughing about Golden Tate being called Starscream. The funniest football nickname ever.
That's some good shit. That's good. That's real good. Yeah.
Call that nigga Starscream. He the sidekick.
The sidekick.
No, that is true what he said about egos, man. Like, I don't think we have to really choose one or the other, though. I think that's a mistake a lot of organizations make. Like, okay, do we side with the GM or do we side with the coach? Mm-hmm. As an owner, come in and be like, no, y'all niggas figure out a way to get along. You know, make it work.
What if they can't, though?
Then fire both of them.
Okay. I can deal with that.
You know what I mean?
But it's kind of hard, though. I mean, because like Bob said, I'd rather roll with the coach than the GM. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, because one of the, he brought up McKenzie and Hugh Jackson, and that was my team. Mm-hmm. And I was kind of upset, you know, when they fired Hugh Jackson, but I understood why he did it. You know what I mean? Because Hugh Jackson was in there talking shit. Mm-hmm. Like, basically, like, fuck y'all, I'm gonna do what the fuck I wanna do, you know what I mean? Cause he was mad because he didn't get the full power, like, I guess he was promised.
Right.
You know what I mean? So, in that situation, I kinda understood it, but, I mean, like Bob said, when y'all fired Schottenheimer and set y'all back, I think firing Hugh Jackson set us back too, cause we was on the verge of doing something special with that team, homie. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, man, egos is a bitch. This is life in general, it is.
Right. But see, but that's what I'm saying. Like, okay, let's take the Chargers situation in, was it 2006 or whatever?
Schottenheimer,
right? That situation was real convoluted too, because Schottenheimer wanted the contract extension, mm-hmm. and AJ Smith didn't want to give it to him, mm-hmm. and shit like that. But see, that's where I feel like you gotta have the owner as a top dog to step in and be like, okay, no, this dude Schottenheimer came in, turned our franchise around. Mm-hmm. You know, we was just 14-2 last mm-hmm. year. He's not going anywhere.
Right.
And even at that time, you know, I was a fan of AJ Smith at that time. Mm-hmm. I looked at him and was like, look, this dude, he's been bringing in good talent, da da da.
He's got lucky, homie.
Oh, well, I don't want to say that, because then that's taken away from, because I don't know how much of it was luck and how much of it was he was actually doing a good job. You know what I mean? I don't like to just dismiss it as luck that easily.
I think it had a big part to do with all the success he had as far as bringing in talent.
What you mean? It was just sheer luck?
No. I'm talking about as far as with the Eli Manning situation, and that opened the door for them to do many things as far as the picks they got, because, I mean, they wanted Eli Manning.
Okay, but even if you have all the picks, though, like, you still have to draft good players.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is, if you never trade Eli Manning, you don't get Sean Merriman and Nate Kading and those motherfuckers like that. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So that's what I'm saying as far as...
But he did do that, though. Yeah, he can't take it away from him, though.
No, but what I'm saying is, homie, he lucked up because Eli Manning didn't want to come here. He was forced to trade him. You know what I mean? So Eli Manning was like, yeah, I'll play for y'all. I think all the other shit went down.
No,
like
but they knew, okay, they knew going into the draft, Eli Manning didn't want to come
here. Yeah, that's what
And
I'm
they
saying.
Drafted him anyways, because it was like, either he's going to come here or we're going to get picked for him. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm saying. Like, you can't take that away. It's a lot of shit to hate on AJ Smith for, but I'm saying that's not one of them, though. Because it's like, either...
Yeah, fuck him.
Either you're going to bring... If you feel like Eli Manning is the best quarterback in the draft, mm-hmm. then you draft him overall, number one, right? Mm-hmm. Or, and then you trade him away and get value for him. Right. So what I'm saying is, at that point in time, AJ Smith was doing a good job of getting value for players. Okay. He didn't do that as much as time went on. Mm-hmm. And I think it happened after Martin Schottenheimer left. And then mm-hmm. all that shit went to his head. Mm-hmm. And he was like, well, you know, saying I can do whatever the fuck I want to do. Mm-hmm. And he started reaching on some shit. But that's what I keep saying. It goes back to, though, it's like, somebody in the organization, the owner, the you know, the team president, whoever is above them two niggas, yeah. needs to step in and be like, yo, both y'all, all y'all get along. Mm-hmm. The Harbaugh situation is different, though, because I really believe that nigga is just
a lunatic,
right?
He having a push up competition with an alligator or hippo or something?
a walrus? I don't know.
It was something I can't remember. But yeah, I said, look at this all crazy ass motherfucker. I heard doing push-ups against a push-up contest against an animal.
Right.
Come on, man.
That's
please.
What I'm saying, man. Like,
he need to hit something. Hit some dodo or something, nigga. Calm his ass down.
I don't even think that would work. Yeah, it was with a walrus.
This nigga crazy, homie.
He's too intense, man. It is such a thing as too much intensity.
Yeah, too much of anything.
And so, yeah, man. But But it is true, man. With all these cats, it's like they let their ego get in the way. It's not about being. It's not about making the team better. But they talk about, oh, we're gonna do this for the team, the organization, da da da. It's about them. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Look what I built.
Right.
No, nigga, fuck you.
And that's where they be fucking up. Let's see. In our last email from Bob, he says, when y'all do the live podcast for the first day of the draft, I'm going to need to be on a conference call. I want to hear Dallas' reaction live when the Raiders take Blake Bortles. shit. That's pretty. Yeah, hey, no doubt, man. We're gonna have you on for that, for sure. I still got to figure out the technical aspects of how to make that work right and have it sound good. But don't trip. You'll be on. For shiggity. Let's see. That's it for the emails, though, man. I just pulled up the pictures of Harbaugh doing a push-up contest with the Walrus. This nigga's crazy, yo.
Yeah, that nigga. Look at him, homie. This nigga. Come on, Robert.
Yeah, that's pretty bad.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's it for emails, man. Let's jump right into the nitty-gritty of all the shit going on in sports over the past week. What's up with your Raiders, man?
Man, we back up in this motherfucker, homie. Fuck all that shit I said last week.
Now, last week, this dude was giving up on the Raiders.
No,
now,
I did give up on him.
And now he talk about we back.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know what, man? Look, man. Y'all know me. When it comes to the Raiders, I always do shit like this. Mm. When shit be going bad, I be high. I'm talking shit. When shit is going good, you know what I'm saying? I'd be super hyped up to a fault. You know what I mean? So, I mean, fuck you. I mean, we made some nice moves this week. And
talk about the moves that got you feeling like you back now.
Okay, so I believe it was on Monday. Mm-hmm. We signed James Jones and Booth from the... Well, James Jones came from wide receiver from Green Bay. Mm-hmm. And I think it's Keith Booth or something like that from the Giants. Offensive lineman. Bar both of those guys, and so I'm like, oh, okay, man. I mean, they ain't like nothing like super special, but them is two additions that's gonna help our offense. Mm-hmm. And the crazy part is, we actually drafted Booth back in like 06, 05, 05 or 06, something like that, and released a nigga after his rookie year. And he went to the Giants and won two fucking Super Bowls starting. You know what I mean?
Why'd y'all release him?
I don't know.
Dang,
because we were stupid.
Pretty much.
So yeah, we got those two guys. So I'm like, ah, okay. But I'm still kind of feeling the same way I was on the podcast. Then we brought in an offensive tackle from Tampa Bay. I'm like, oh, okay, I know homeboy's pretty nasty. I like him. Mm-hmm. And he talking shit, so I got a chip on my shoulder. That's what I want to hear.
Right.
Not saying like Tuck, oh well, you know, I wanted to, you know, stay with the Giants, but nah, I don't fuck with that type shit. So then what I heard, we was gonna get Matt Schaub. I said, woo, nigga, what? Mm-hmm. Matt Schaub? You know what I mean? We was just talking about him, you know what I mean? About shit the Texans keep him and how we felt about him. And we both me and you and Bob agreed that, you know, he's a decent quarterback.
Right.
So I was just super excited because it seemed like now this motherfucker been fucked up so much in the first week, he said, I gotta do something. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Because I feel he was losing the fan base, homie.
You think so?
Hell yeah, man. Because it's like anybody that knows sports, man, can look at what McKenzie was doing. And he was fucking up, man. He loves niggas who's injured. I just don't get that. How you just gonna break motherfuckers off who be having major injuries, homie? It makes no sense to me. So, this is real shit, you know?
He loves niggas who's in.
He do. So, I mean, he made some pretty good signings. I'm hearing that we trying to get DeSean Jackson. If we can get him up in here, then, man, I mean, that'll make our offense, man, very dangerous, I think. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So, hopefully, Darren McSadden can stay healthy. And and maybe we can get something rolling up there in Oakland. But, yeah, I'm excited, man.
It's Kevin Booth is the dude.
Kevin Booth. There we go. Kevin Booth.
But yeah, I mean, y'all made some moves. I think getting shot for a 6th-round pick, that's pretty good. Like, you know, it's very rare you come up on a quarterback with a 90 quarterback rating over the last, you know, however many years for a 6th-round pick. Yeah. You know what I mean? That's a good move. Y'all re-signed Woodson, too?
Yeah, for 1 year. Yeah, we signed that old nigga.
That nigga, oh, how old is he? Like 35, 36?
In his 30s. I heard that nigga gonna play with a cane this year.
be the first DB out there with a cane.
Yeah,
that's tight.
Mm-hmm.
No, y'all made some good moves, man. Y'all definitely are going in the right direction. As far as my Chargers, man, we ain't really do shit the past week. Ain't really much we can do.
Mm-hmm.
The only signing that I'm aware of that I came up on was they re-signed Ajir Tutu. The wide receiver. Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, the thing about him, every time he's got a chance to play, he's actually played okay. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? You know, he's a big target, physical guy. They're still looking at free agent receivers, but like the free agent receivers out there right now, they really ain't nothing, you know, that you want to throw a lot of money at.
Well, you ain't got a lot of money to throw at them anyway.
That's the other problem too. You know, even if we had a whole bunch of cap space, you know, or even if we found somebody we wanted that was a good fit, you know, we don't have the cap space to do nothing with it.
Uh-huh.
So we're going to have to find somebody willing to sign for like 1 year, $1 million or some shit like that.
Nigga, only nigga you getting like that, some nigga off the street.
Mm-hmm.
Nigga be at Walmart, get a phone call.
Yeah.
Nigga, what? Oh, I quit. Fuck these niggas. I'm going to catch footballs.
Sidney Wright still out there, ain't he?
You know what? I think he is.
So, yeah. That's a possibility. I guess they had offered, I read today, they offered Steve Smith a contract.
With the Chargers?
Yeah.
Wow.
He turned him down and decided to go to Baltimore.
Mm.
That lets me know he crazy. Because, like, if you're a receiver and you have to say which quarterback would I rather play with, Flacco or Rivers, you know, I would choose Rivers. But he said he wanted to stay closer to his home in North Carolina, so.
Oh, okay, there you go. Oh, man.
But still, though, man. I don't know. Well, I mean, if the money was similar, then, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah.
Other than that, man, we really ain't done shit. You know, looking for bargain basement receivers. Mm-hmm. They said the Chargers might be in the market for DeSean Jackson, but...
Nah, he ain't coming here.
But that's what I'm saying. It's like, you'd have to trade a third-round pick, and then, like, his cap hit just this year is $12.75 million. Wait, hold on. Yeah.
Oh, you know what? I just read something on the way over here that the Eagles probably going to cut him because they can't find nobody to trade with. So, yeah, everybody's probably like, fuck it, we're just going to let you cut him.
Yeah.
And then it's going to be a bidding war.
I don't even know if I want him in San Diego, man.
Why?
He's just too disruptive, homie. Mm-hmm. He's, I don't know, man. Like...
As far as what, though? Because he want money?
No, not because he want money.
Cause that was the only time he really been disruptive. Nigga wanted to get paid, so yeah.
He just I don't know how to describe it.
He's a nigga.
He's a nigga. He's an ignorant ass nigga. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I don't know, man. Like I feel like I'm always hesitant to bring those in. You know what I mean?
I feel you.
But I mean, he would be a dynamic addition to the offense. You figure you could have him. And Keenan Allen, and the running attack that's the other thing too. I don't know how much of a passing attack we really about to be fucking with. I think we're gonna be like a real run heavy team for the next several years. And you know what? Like, cause they did this low key in the middle of the season, but they switched from putting the ball in Phillip Rivers' hands to being like, okay, we're going to minimize his throws, minimize his opportunities to do something dumb.
Mm-hmm.
Cause, you know, Phillip Rivers is not a bad quarterback, but he makes some dumbass decisions sometimes.
Right.
So, you know, it is what it is. That's why everybody's talking about, like, oh, why they signed Brown. I'm like, look, if you want to run the ball 30-some times a game, you need two, you know, physical running backs or, you know, two running backs who can carry that load. So you have Brown and Matthews. That's a pretty good combo.
Especially when you know one is tender. So yeah, you gotta bring somebody in.
Matthews is good for missing some time.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, man, other than that, ain't really much else cooking with my Chargers. Donald Butler came out and said he wants Vince Wilfork, because you know how Wilfork.
Mm.
Which of course he does, nigga. Every middle linebacker
Hell
does.
Yeah. Go make me look real good.
But, you know, he's still under contract with the Patriots. But, you know, they came to him talking about, oh, we want you to restructure your deal. He was like, cut me then.
Yeah, fuck, I'll restructure it. Good for you, Will Ford.
Exactly.
Good for you, homie.
Exactly.
Fat motherfucker.
So, yeah, man, we'll see what they do. They definitely need a nose tackle because they let Cam Thomas go. And I don't know who. If they plan on running 3-4, I don't know who they got to play nose tackle right now.
That's the nigga. They plan on getting somebody in that draft.
Mm-hmm. other than that, man, that's it with the Chargers. Let's get into some of the other stuff going on in the NFL. You see your boy Jim Irsay got arrested last week?
Yeah, you know what? I read about it on you know, the little bottom line on ESPN. But I really didn't follow up on it. But so what happened exactly?
He got pulled over for driving under the influence. I didn't see exactly whether he when the test came back, whether he was under the influence of alcohol or pills, but they found him with booze and pills and So he was on his YOLO shit. He was out there drinking, doing all the pills and all that. So, and then my main thing why I want to talk about it is it goes back to what we always talk about is like the tone of how they cover different shit. They talked about him like, oh, he's got addiction issues, he's got problems. Yeah, let that have been a nigga who was drunk. It had some pills in the the front seat with him. They'd be like, "Oh, he's a thug." Right, he's, you know,
you cut the nigga, all that shit, all that good shit.
He can't be relied on. I just don't like the different standard, you know, that they hold owners to. You know what I mean? Hold on, let's see what I found this article. Let's see what Tony Dungy got to say about this. I ain't even heard this yet, so I don't even know what it's gonna be about.
Well, I was stunned just like everyone else with the news that my former boss, Jim Irsay, the owner and president of the Indianapolis Colts, was stopped with prescription drugs in the car and operating the vehicle under the influence. And to me, it just goes to show that no matter where you are in life, that can happen. My best wishes, my prayers go out to Jim Irsay. I know he's in a treatment center. He's been battling this for a while, and our prayer is that this is the time that the Lord can really help him out. Jim is a great man, done a lot for not only me, but the entire city of Indianapolis, the Colts organization. He's got a great heart, and my prayer is that he can overcome this, win this battle with these prescription drugs, come out and get back on the right track leading the Colts as he's done for so long. Best wishes, Jim, and you know I'm behind you.
Yeah, man. See, there's a lot of bad thing going on the past week, and I get it. I mean, that's
Tony Dungy.
That's Tony Dungy.
He doesn't deal with anybody.
That's true.
So, I mean,
but I guess my thing is, it's the people who, like I said, if it was a nigga, they'd be talking about. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, does the NFL have a problem with players getting arrested, a bunch of thugs out of control, and this and that? So yeah, man, like, I heard a bunch of different stuff about it. Like, should they penalize the Colts by taking away the draft
thing? I think so. Because you know why? Because this is the thing. Okay, if a player, let's just say this was a player, what is he going to face?
Probably a suspension.
Right.
Game suspension.
Okay,
like
which takes money out of his pocket, all that shit. What can you do to really penalize Jim Irsay? You can't take.
Can't suspend him.
Can't suspend him. I mean, that doesn't really do shit.
Yeah.
Finding him really doesn't do shit. You know what I mean? So you need to do something that hurts his team.
Yeah.
So you have to take away picks, homie.
How high of a draft pick?
Like, I'll say a first round draft pick.
Oh, for real?
No, because the thing is, because, what's his name? Goodell. He's talking about, oh, you know, I want to be firm, stern, all that shit on the NFL, cracking down on making us look bad.
Yeah.
This ain't making you look good.
Hey, that is true.
You know what I'm saying? So you got to hit him hard.
Yeah, as much as he been coming down on players and shit, you can't come down hard on players your whole time as the commissioner, and then when the owner fuck up, be like, oh, well, I ain't going to do nothing.
Yeah.
That is true. Yeah, I'm going to be interested to see what Goodell do. Yeah, come down on that nigga, man. Take away draft pick.
Because if you don't know me, it's going to be a lot of backlash, especially for the players. Just like, hold on, dude, you always banging on us when we be fucking up.
Right.
As soon as the owner do something, homie, you just gonna slap him on the wrist? Nah, man. The motherfuckers ain't gonna like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, to avoid controversy and all that shit, it's gonna be controversy either way you go.
Mm-hmm.
But I would rather have, the players in the NFL on cool rather than, you know, people, the fans and media and all that shit.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because, I mean, also, let me, who makes the money? Who makes the NFL go? It's the fucking players.
Mm-hmm.
So if you got them motherfuckers mad at you, I mean, what if one day these niggas say, fuck it, we ain't playing, homie?
Yep. That's what's going to come down to eventually for them to get some power back. Because this shit, Because I remember when Goodell first took over and the way he would be coming down on players was some bullshit. Yeah, so
bullshit,
keep it consistent. That's all I ask for is consistency.
Yeah, consistency, yeah. Yep. So,
yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what happens, man. And my thing is, like, okay, if motherfuckers knew he had this problem, how come did nobody go do nothing about it up until this point?
Mm-hmm.
He ain't got no problem. That motherfucker just like, I mean, he's a party animal. That's probably why he always saying crazy shit. He probably be high. Talking shit about Payne Manning.
Lit up.
Oh, man.
Probably be fucked up all the time.
Hell yeah.
But to be honest, if I was an owner, I would be too. If I had that much money, nigga, I'd
do whatever the fuck you want.
I would act so ignorant. I ain't going afraid.
Oh, shit.
I'm telling you, if I was an owner of a football team, if I had that kind of money, I would be, they would, you know how they cut to shots of the owner's booth? I'd be in there with, like, just bitches in, like, bikinis walking around, just serving all the homies brews and shit. Nigga,
nigga, I have one of those little, like, you know, like, when the... They have you like at the police station and shit, and they got the suspects lined up and shit. They got the witness on the other side. I have one of them little mirror niggas,
so they can't see what
you
do.
What the fuck going up in here? We're being fucking all kind of shit, nigga. We have all kind of crazy ass parties up in here.
It'd be real ignorant,
real ignorant up in that motherfucker. Hell yeah.
But yeah, we'll see what Goodell does, man. See if he stays consistent.
He ain't gonna do shit.
Probably not. Some other NFL news, and this is funny. Geno Smith, backing up. Mike Vick ended up signing with New York with the Jets.
Mm-hmm,
it's interesting because it didn't seem like there was a lot of interest in him to start with, but then he ended up going to the Jets. They asked Geno Smith about it. And apparently Geno Smith don't understand how the NFL work. I realize he's still young, but come on, young fella. You got to open up your eyes. He was asked, you know, how he feels about Mike Vick coming to the Jets. He goes, awesome, man. It's awesome. Vick's my guy, Smith said during a fan signing event Sunday. We need to find a guy that was legitimately a guy who could come in and play. I think that's what we did. Mission accomplished. Vick is going to be a guy I can work with, have a really good working relationship with, and compete with, Smith said. Smith was unfazed by Vick's comments Friday night on a conference call where he said... that he wouldn't necessarily be content standing on the sideline all season. That's every quarterback, Smith said. I understand where Mike's coming from. No one wants to sit on the bench. I don't know a player that does. It's just good to have a guy to compete with like Mike, Smith said. We're going to compete. We're not going to say, hey, you're the starter, and we'll leave it at that. We want to get better. I love it. It's really making everyone work harder and keep you on your toes because you don't have a moment to be satisfied or just say, I've arrived. You've got to continue to work at it. Smith respects the opinion of Vic, who first reached out to him during Smith's senior season at West Virginia in 2012. Smith, a second-round pick, recalled the NFL draft process and how to handle expectations were among topics discussed. Some of the things I asked him was, how do you deal with being the guy, Smith said. I was in that situation last year. As soon as I walked in the locker room, I was expected to produce. As we all know in this league, it's hard to do that. If you're not on a team that's already set up to win, you're going to have your struggles. Yo, so what you think about that? That Geno Smith seems happy about the way. If y'all can see Dolly B's face right now.
Yeah, you know what, man? I'm not even tripping off of his comments because you got to say shit like that.
Mm.
What the fuck are the Jets doing?
Hey, I tried to tell you. Remember when you was hyping him up for re-signing Fat Rex Ryan and all that?
But dog, this ain't got nothing to do with him.
It's tied into it, though. That organization don't know what the fuck they doing.
That's what I'm saying, homie. Okay, because you know what? Me and my boy Lorenzo, we was talking about this, because this was about a week or two ago, and when they was talking about how the Jets were pursuing Michael Vick, he's like, oh, that'd be good for us. I said, no, it's not, dude, because why? Okay. First of all, you drafted Geno Smith, was a projected first-round pick.
Mm-hmm.
He fell down to the second round, and they drafted him. Okay, whatever. He started the whole season. He showed progress towards the end, okay? So why would you bring in a quarterback who has verbally said that, hey, I don't want to be a fucking backup.
Right. That's why I'm laughing at Geno Smith's comments. Mike Vick ain't going there to be like, coach him up and like be a mentor.
He may do that, but he's not going to do it from the sideline. He's going to do it as a starter and say, look, you know, dude, hey, you know, follow my footsteps on me. If you got quit, I'll help you out and shit. But at the same time, nigga, I'm a starter, nigga.
Right.
You know what I mean? I think you can still do that. You can still be the starter and still mentor a motherfucker.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? But from the sounds of it, he ain't trying to mentor from the bench.
That's what I'm saying. Like, he's going in there like, this my shit.
This shit gonna blow up, homie. It's gonna blow up.
I'm telling you, homie. And look, this is what goes back to when I was talking about, like, with the Rex Ryan shit.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they did it. They gave him the contract extension, which was really basically like a one-year extension. Mm-hmm. So you got a coach coaching on a one-year contract. Mm-hmm. You have a young quarterback who you're trying to develop. Mm-hmm. And then you bring in a veteran guy who, personally, I think Vic is more talented than Geno Smith is.
Right.
Who you think Rex Ryan gonna roll with?
Yeah.
So you set your franchise back. Your dude who you think might be your franchise quarterback, you set him back a year. Right? Because this is gonna be like a very important year for Geno Smith's development.
Right.
And you just set it back a year because you don't know what the fuck you're doing.
I just don't get this shit. I mean, they saying this shit right now. I'm telling you, come late August, some shit gonna be coming up out of New York, homie.
That's what I'm saying. And then, like, we had the group text conversation going back and forth earlier this week. Y'all was like, should Geno Smith give up number 7? I was like, fuck no, nigga. Like, you competing for a job with this man. Mm-hmm. Don't give him shit.
Yeah.
I would give him wrong directions to the stadium, nigga. Like, he called me, hey, Geno, how I get to the practice field? Yeah, so you see, you take the expressway south, right, and then you look around. That nigga be all late. I'd be like, damn, Rex, look at Mike all late and shit.
Yeah, showing up late. What kind of man you want this nigga start for your team? You got me here, homie. I'm on time and shit. Fuck that nigga. Man, that's hilarious.
Hey, man, look. I got no illusions about the NFL. This shit is cutthroat, homie.
Oh, yeah,
you know what I mean? Because, like, if Geno get beat out this year, like, he might not get another contract. It's going to be hard for him to get another contract in the NFL. You know how they do black quarterbacks, you know what I mean? So, like, after his rookie contract is up, and it's not like a big rookie contract, it's a second-round draft pick rookie contract.
Yeah. So he ain't going to get no big money.
Right. So it's like, yo, this is his chance to make or break, and, you know what I'm saying, like, show himself to be a legit NFL starting quarterback, right? Mm-hmm. And then they bringing this dude in to compete with you, like.
Man, it's going to be nothing but disaster. But I will say this. But Michael Vick contract is only 1 year.
That's true.
But still, though, I mean, sports in general, you have to be mentally strong to deal with all this shit.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so look at the city in which they went to the city. They went to the New York media circus.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's gonna be all kind of shit coming out that camp. I think media just making shit up, just stir shit up. You know, you never know, homie. They can create a controversy where there really ain't one. Then it becomes one.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, the Jets fucked up, homie. They fucked up majorly. I think, man. And I think this is going to bite them in the ass in the long run.
It was no reason to make that move. Mm-hmm. Well, put it like this: like, how can you not be willing to ride with Geno Smith after what he did last year? You know what I'm saying? 8 wins as a rookie.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Everybody's talking about how the team wasn't that talented or whatever. I don't know. I don't watch them that much to know how talented they are or not. But if you say, okay, there wasn't that much talent on that team, and he was a quarterback who was able to lead you to 8 games and show progress, then you ride with that.
Right, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
And that's my whole point, homie. Yeah. That's why I didn't think it made no fucking sense, homie. And then you got Vic coming in. I mean, I'm saying talking shit. Mm-hmm. Saying, nigga, hey, I'm not. If he basically said, I'm going to be the starter, homie.
Yeah.
Fuck what y'all talking about.
Yeah.
And if I'm not, we're going to have problems.
Right. That's what I'm saying. He don't sound like he's going to be... I get what you're saying. Like, you know, he could still mentor him and shit like that. Mm-hmm. But he don't sound like he's going to be... He sound like he's going to be there waiting for Geno to fuck up. Mm-hmm. Like, what if Geno get off to a rocky start? Say Geno win the job out of camp, right? In the first 2 games, he throw 3 interceptions. You don't think the fan base and that media going to be saying, shouldn't they ride with Vic?
It's going to happen. That's what I'm saying. That shit is going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
On both sides, though.
Right.
So if Vic, let's just say Vic get the story. If Vic fuck up, that means at one point, homie, they gonna be hollering Geno.
Yeah.
And now you got some bullshit on your hands. These niggas is dumb, homie. This is what we talking about, homie. These GMs, they don't know what the fuck they doing. It made no sense to bring him in, homie.
Mm-hmm.
No fucking sense.
I tell you, man, I say it all the time. Like, people be bad at their jobs. People be bad at their jobs when they be gardeners, when they be teachers.
Anything.
Whatever the case may be. There's people who's good at it and people who's bad at it. And these GMs is no different.
No different, homie.
This is terrible. All right, man. Let's see. Our next story in the NFL. This one, I just found it funny. Mm-hmm. Starscream says that the offer from Seattle was laughable.
I think it's Starscream.
That's his new name forever.
Yeah, it has to be on.
Former Seattle Seahawks wide receiver, Golden Starscream Tate, who signed a 5-year, $31 million deal with Detroit, said the offer from Seattle was laughable and that he was disappointed how some Seahawks fans have turned on him for leaving. I'm just appalled at the attitude I received on Twitter from people I thought were Golden Tate fans, Tate said Tuesday. People are starting to show their true colors. I think the world of the 12s, the Seahawks fans, but there's a large group who very quickly turned on me. It kind of bothered me because I felt like I gave everything and I possibly could to the city of Seattle. All right. I ain't going to read the whole article. Mm-hmm. About that. He came out and he said he would take a hometown discount to stay with
him. Oh, he did?
Yeah, you didn't hear about that?
I didn't know that.
He said he'd be willing to stay in Seattle for a discount.
Okay.
And then when he didn't stay in Seattle and he took money somewhere else, people gonna talk shit about you. Right. You know what I mean? That's why you don't ever come out and say, oh, I'll take less money to stay here. Mm-hmm. All you gotta do, I'm telling you, I'm gonna start a PR firm for athletes, homie. Maybe. All you gotta do is say, I would love to stay in Seattle. We'll see what, you know, we'll see what happens in free agency. It's so basic. He said, I didn't mean a 40% discount, Tate said. I'm going to earn in 1 year at Detroit what Seattle was going to pay me for 2 years. Mm-hmm. Seattle offered numbers that were laughable, I thought. I've given you everything, and this is what you give me? Considering I was there for 4 years and started two of those years, I missed one game in those 2 years. I did everything, and I wasn't a troublemaker. And what they offered, I was like, is this serious? Yeah, nigga, it's the NFL. That's how it go.
Oh, okay. See, okay. Now, I see both sides of this story. First of all, Golden Tate, you're Starscream.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, I'll be real. The fucking Detroit overpaid for you.
They did.
Point blank. So you better be glad you got what you got.
Uh-huh.
Now, I see on this side, nigga, you got to get your money, though.
Right, but that's why I go back to, don't ever say you will take less money to stay somewhere. Because if you go into the negotiation saying, yeah, I'll take less money, even if that's how you feel, you don't let that be known.
You know what I mean?
Because if Seattle knows that going in.
Yeah, they're going to lowball.
Yeah, of course they're going to lowball. You know what I mean? So it's like, you go out, you see what the market holds, and then you can even go like, hey, I got Detroit offering me XXX. You're like, what are y'all willing to do? Mm-hmm. Right? And then they might come back and say, okay, we want to offer you exactly the same, but it's close, or a little bit less.
Close, yeah.
Right. Then I can get that. Because, like, on the real, I do understand that on some level. Like, as an athlete, if you're comfortable in a city, right, if you're willing, if that level of comfort is worth, say, $2 million a year for you in difference, that makes sense, right?
Yeah,
if you love living in San Diego, if you love playing in San Diego, everything works for you, right? You can get, you know, say $2-3 million more if you go to New York, or you can stay in San Diego for $2-3 million less.
Yeah.
I get that. That's close. But, I mean, when we start talking about $5-10-20 million, that's a big difference. He went on to say, it's a business. I get that. But I felt I was undervalued a little bit considering all that I've done. I'm going to miss Seattle, but I really had no choice. I did my very best to stay in Seattle, and I leave with my head high.
But yeah, I mean, but like you said, that's his fault. He should never came out. Just like we was talking about when Carmelo Anthony's wife came out and said, oh, he want to stay here.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, okay, you do?
Yeah.
Check this out, nigga.
It's like, we got you, nigga.
Yeah, we got you.
Yeah.
We already know where you get. Yeah, we're going to give you, homie.
Uh-huh.
Take it or leave it. Well, you know you want to stay. You know what I mean? So, yeah, it is what it is, man. Stop being so soft, nigga. Shut the fuck up. Get your money. You getting paid millions of dollars. You could fuck what some fans say. They was going to say that shit regardless if you left.
That's the other thing athletes gotta learn, man. These fans don't give a fuck about you, man. They only care about what you're gonna do for their fantasy team and if you're gonna win for their, you know, so they can cheer on Sunday. That's it.
I put that on, nigga. If I was a fucking athlete, the only fans that I would show love to as a kid, Tommy.
Yeah. I feel you.
If you a nigga on a real homie, if you an adult homie, you come here, can you sign my jersey, nigga?
The right. Fuck out of here, homie. Yeah. You a grown ass man. I ain't signing shit for you. Don't get your ass up out of here. You know what I mean? So, and niggas just need to be more fucking cutthroat. I will with fans, man. Fuck you, homie. You gonna come regardless, nigga. I'm going to work. Can you imagine if you go to work and you got motherfuckers waiting for you?
Right.
That's what I'm saying.
Hey, Dallas, can you sign this garage door for me?
Your ass out like,
you don't get the fuck out of my way.
I'm not dealing with this shit.
Trying to work.
Right, yeah. So, nigga, leave them niggas alone, homie.
Yeah. Oh, man. I feel you, man. It's always weird to me, like, adults who are overly invested in the sports shit. Right. And I say that as a person. I love sports. Yeah, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, we got fucking college basketball on right now. Mm-hmm. You know, we do a fucking sports podcast. But, like, the motherfuckers who, you know, like you say, like, grown men who like run up on athletes and while they fucking having lunch with their kids and shit, be like, hey, can you sign this for me? You know, or you know, they want to cuss them out because they left their team to go to play for a different team. Now that athlete is a bitch and shit like that. You know what I mean? Like, that's just weird, man. Yeah. It ain't that serious.
It's really not.
Let's see. A couple other stories NFL wise. This one, you know, draft's coming up. Mm-hmm. A little bit of draft talk. Teddy Bridgewater, he had his pro day, and apparently it didn't go too well. Now, I ain't see too much coverage of it. Like, did you hear what they said he did wrong or didn't do well at the pro day?
You know what? I didn't, but I think I seen his numbers as far as how many passes he completed and how many passes he threw, and I think he missed like 6 or 7 throws on me, which is a lot.
That's a lot for a pro day. Yeah.
But at the same time, I always say this, homie. I don't like to put too much stock into shit like this. Because, I mean, he could just have a bad day. You don't know what the fuck happened. You know, he could have a sore shoulder, didn't say shit. You know what I mean? I think when you evaluate a player, I say anywhere from 75% to 90% of your evaluation should be game film.
Yeah, I feel you.
You know what I mean? Because, I mean, well, we have talked about this, you know, many times on the podcast, but, you know, they drop players down for one fucking simple thing, and it has nothing to do with the performance on the field.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think that pro days is cool. I mean, I don't like the shit, to be honest with you. But, because this is like, okay, something like this, what happened with Bridgewater. Now, if you was a fan of Bridgewater, now you would be like getting creating doubts in your head, like, damn, you know, I had him kind of high, but I didn't like how he missed 7 throws in his pro day.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Instead of just staying with your gut feeling and rolling with the game film and sticking with that, and instead of letting a fucking pro day, you know what I'm saying, take away from what you originally, you know, felt. You know what I'm saying?
I feel you. So, but like I say, it's all part of the evaluation. So, like, if it's me, let's say I'm one of the teams at the top of the draft, and I'm looking at Bridgewater possibly, mm-hmm. right? And I see he struggled at his pro day doing certain things. Mm-hmm. Now, when I go back and I look at the tape, I'm looking specifically at the, like, okay, what is he, let's say he struggled hitting the out routes or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, so now I'm looking like, okay, does he lack arm strength? Does he lack ability to make these specific throws or whatever? Like, it's not that it's like, okay, I was going to draft him, but because of this one thing, now I'm not. But to me, I'm like, it's something. You can't just ignore it completely.
But that's you, though. GMs do this shit.
Oh, yeah. I feel
you. Know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, what I'm saying is, I mean, I guarantee it's going to be a gang of GMs who drop this nigga.
Oh, he might have dropped board it. Maybe out of the first round, homie. He might drop all the way out of the first round.
So, I mean, it is what it is. But, I mean, I think he's the best quarterback coming out this year still.
I think so, too. He has question marks. But that's what I said about this draft. Like, there's none of these quarterbacks in this draft make me look and go, yeah, I need to have this dude. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So, like, for me, I wouldn't take any of them, like, top 5 or top 10, really. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Because, like, even with Bridgewater, you know, he racked up good production, but it was in a whack conference. You know what I mean? Like, who was he playing against? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, and I mean that's one thing I'm starting to notice more and more about college sports is you really got to pay attention to who dudes play against. You know what I mean?
Ooh, I mean, you know what? Ah, that's not necessarily true.
Oh, it matters, homie.
Okay, okay.
And we'll talk about it when we get to San Diego State basketball, because that team they played yesterday, people was hyping them up about how good they are offensively and shit. And then when they went up against some real basketball players, nigga, they got shit headed.
Okay. I get what you're saying, but I'm saying, to me, homie, I think some players are just so good, it doesn't matter what competition they're playing against. I remember years ago, me and Calvin had this argument. We was talking about LeBron James.
Uh-huh.
And this is when he was coming out of high school.
Uh-huh.
And he was like, well, I don't know, man. He playing against high schoolers. I mean, ain't no telling how good he... I was like, homie.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I could just look at this motherfucker and just see something special about this kid.
Right.
You know what I mean? So, not saying Bridgewater is LeBron James. Okay. But what I'm saying is, sometimes, homie, you could just look at a player and be like, damn, yeah, that motherfucker's ill, homie. You know what I'm saying?
I agree with you completely on that. But like you say,
Bridgewater ain't that. Yeah,
you know what I mean. So yeah. I get you,
because you know what if you look at it, okay, I'm gonna give it up to the SEC. They be having some cracking ass defenses, but the quarterbacks be shitty. They playing against the best defenses, so they should be able to come to the pros and still have success. I mean, I see a lot of SEC quarterbacks who don't be good.
Yeah,
but they play against the best college defenses though.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Look at what's his name, Stafford.
Yeah.
That nigga still throwing a gang of picks.
Mm-hmm.
Jay Cutler, still throwing a gang of picks.
There really ain't too many good. Cam, let's see.
You got Cam, Peyton.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'll throw Eli in there just because he's had some success.
But
he's still fucking up.
Like, just in recent years, like Eli, he's been in the league, what, 10, going on 10
yeah,
years
going
now?
Going on 10 years, yeah.
Peyton being, like, that's like 15 years ago.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if you want to look even like the last 5 or 6 years, how many SEC quarterbacks really came in? You know, ever since all this talk about how the SEC has, you know, been the best conference, this and that, ever since that shit really, like, ramped up, we really ain't seen too many good SEC quarterbacks come in.
Yeah, all receivers.
Yeah. But see, I'm trying to think. Any receiver? AJ Green?
I mean, Jeffries, I mean, he came on this year from the Bears. But, I mean, other than that, I mean, there's like, I mean...
Those offenses be real rudimentary down there, too, man. That's the other problem.
But, I mean, the reason why I brought it up, because it's saying as far as the competition you play, you know what I mean? It's a transition over to NFL.
Uh-huh.
And sometimes it don't. It's just like, either nigga, you can play or you can't, homie.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so...
I feel you. We'll see where he goes. I got a feeling he's going to be... this year's version, you know, of the dude who sitting in the green room waiting to get drafted.
I think that's going
to
be Blake Bortles.
I think Blake Bortles might go first overall, homie.
Oh, yeah, because they pumping this nigga up. The Texans, huh?
Homie, they just traded away Shaw.
Yeah,
so it's pretty clear they're going quarterback.
Mm.
He got ties to Bill O'Brien, dude.
Yeah.
Bortles got ties to Bill O'Brien.
Mm-hmm.
Bill O'Brien... come out saying he likes big, physical, big, tall quarterbacks. That nigga going number one overall, homie.
No way saying all that. It didn't sound like that.
Yeah. So.
And then on Phil Trapp going to be crazy, homie.
And then I think Teddy going to fall.
Mm-hmm.
Keeping with the draft, man, I found this story last minute as we was getting ready for the show.
Oh, shit.
Merrill Hodge saying some ignorant shit. I'll read you the headline. ESPN's Merrill Hodge is back at it. Would rather have Michael Sam than Jadeveon Clowney on his team.
Nah, I don't believe that. He didn't say that, homie. He didn't say that.
Let's see. I ain't even going to read the whole article. I'll just read Hodge's comments. Here's what Hodge initially said when asked to compare Clowney and Sam. You got one guy who is a dynamic athlete, Hodge said. His athletic skills are crazy, but as a football player, they're very average. You look at Michael Sam. His athletic skill sets are not eye-popping or awesome, but his football skill set is good. It's Sam. You would take a player like him and say, you know what? He's a chance to make my team, and I know this. One thing coaches like is somebody I can trust. He's going to play hard for me. He's going to be where he needs to be. Now, is he going to dominate people like Clowney could? But we hardly see on a consistent basis? That's what we have to decide. He says, if I'm building a team, first of all, I wouldn't draft Clowney, I said. That's why you a whack ass animator.
I heard that nigga, homie. He's whack.
Let's see. Let's just say we're talking about the Houston Texans. He will be there when I pick, but I don't pick him in the first round. Somebody else take him. So I get around to the second round, and I take Zach Mettenberger, the LSU quarterback, because I took Khalil Mack. Then maybe in the fifth or sixth round, guess what? I get Michael Sam. I got a guy who gives effort and will play every down and will be where he needs to be for my defense, and that's very important. Now, this is one of the things that pisses me off when they try to talk shit about Clowney, like, he didn't play hard all year, didn't play every down. This nigga was out there on the football field holding a winning lottery ticket.
Right.
He's about to get, $20 million guaranteed in the next month, right? But at South Carolina, you want him to go tackle for free, risk getting hurt.
Yeah.
He just saw what happened to his teammate, Lattimore, the running back, getting his knees fucked up every year. Yeah. Right? So Clowney was out there like, look, I'm not getting hurt.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you want to say, oh, he don't give effort or he takes plays off because of that, miss me with all that, man.
I agree with you 1,000%, homie.
Yo, man, this nigga's going to be a dominant player in the NFL. Period, point blank.
You know what, man? I hate to bring the race issue into it, homie, but it seemed like whenever there's a physical specimen coming out, homie, and he's projected to go number one overall. Oh, my bad, I should have grabbed one. And it goes to Merle Hodge. He's always hating. Remember when Cam was coming out?
Yeah.
All the shit he was talking about Cam Newton?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, it's almost like, okay, homie, if you don't fall into that line of how motherfuckers want us to be, homie, then all of you get hated on.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Michael Sam came out, and I mean, that's a whole other situation, you know what I'm saying, with the homosexuality shit, but I mean, he ain't never been in no trouble and all that, so he like, oh yeah, I would rather take him. And shut the fuck up. If anybody agrees with this motherfucker,
he's stupid.
You're a motherfucking idiot.
Yeah.
Man, these niggas ain't even close.
There's a lot more Michael Sam's walking around the earth than Jadeveon Clowney.
And then, like you said, okay, Clowney is projected to be top five pick.
Uh-huh.
Sam is projected to be late round. Right. Fifth, sixth, seventh.
Fifth round pick.
So how are you even comparing these two? First of all.
He said he'd rather have Sam because Sam is going to give him more effort and he's going to try harder.
Oh, my God. You know what, man? Oh, I'm going to talk about
this. For the record, I think Sam could be a good football player. And I think he could be one of them dudes like, who is the homie's name? Dude used to play for the Steelers. Harrison, the linebacker.
Okay,
He's a dude who you never looked at him and saw, like, outstanding physical, like, gifts, right? Nothing, like, jumped off the page at you. But, you know, just through effort and, everything, just work hard, like, he became a good NFL player. I think Sam could be something like that in the NFL, but
that ain't what we're talking about.
Exactly, though, right? That's not, that don't mean that you would rather take, you'd rather have Sam than Clowney on your team.
Man.
Yeah.
Man, that man, see.
People like that get paid to talk about sports for a living, too.
Yeah.
What's up, buddy?
How was that?
Go ahead.
Yeah, it don't make no sense, homie.
You want that?
No, I'm good, thank you. Well, what kind of snacks you got? Man, I don't eat no damn Fruit Loops.
You're not.
I'll mess with you, RJ.
It's fruit snacks, huh? Go ahead, grab your snack and go back in the room, okay? No, I'm good, man. Thank you, though. Thank you for sharing.
That moment is funny, homie. but yeah, man, that nigga Merle Hodge is an idiot, homie. I'm sick of hearing that nigga, homie.
Yeah, he's ridiculous. All of the cat, man. Him, what's the other one?
ESPN?
We just talked about him last week, I think. I'm drawing a blank on his name. Motherfucker with the glasses.
Oh, Kuiper?
No, he used to be play quarterback for the Eagles.
Way back. Jaworski.
Yeah, Jaworski. Yeah, yeah, yeah. All them, man. Like,
you know what? I ain't going to lie. I think it's by far too early. I think there's nobody close to this dude. I think I spoke on it on one of the first podcasts we did. Trent Dilfer.
Yeah.
Trent Dilfer is the illest analyst by far when it comes to just football shit. I'm talking about NFL Network, Fox Sports, all that shit. Can't nobody fuck with Trent Dilfer.
Because
he breaks the shit down. I'll be like, damn, I think I'm pretty knowledgeable when it comes to football. He be breaking shit down. I'll be like, damn,
yeah.
That don't even cross my motherfucking mind. Deal. And he's not biased neither. He keep it real, homie.
And he don't try to say outlandish shit just to get himself some shine. Right. That's the other thing I don't like. I feel like some of these cats be at home like, okay, what could I say today that will make people talk about me?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, man. That's it for football, man. Unless you got anything else you want to touch on with
I'm back. Raider Nation, stop hating.
Yeah, I'm back, homie.
Right.
I love myself for a black nigga. Fuck everybody who want to talk shit.
Until y'all start 0-4, and then in October, you're
going to be talking shit. Yeah, I am.
I hate these niggas.
Yeah, then let us go with the next 4 games. I'll be right back.
You the roller coaster Raider fan.
Hell yeah.
All right, moving into baseball, man. Ain't much cooking right now. You know, baseball season gets started next week. So next weekend is opening day, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, the Dodgers and Arizona, they played in Australia this
that's
weekend.
Right, that's right.
I should just whack.
Alright, yeah, the Dodgers swept them 2 games or whatever. Mm-hmm. But, excuse me, as we get ready for the season, update on the Padres. Ain't really nothing to update except for fucking injuries, man.
Yep, like I told you.
I was excited a couple weeks ago.
I told you, Robert. I'm trying to tell you, my nigga.
The latest injury, Josh Johnson fucked his, he had a flexor strain in his arm. And this needs to be getting injuries you ain't never heard of and shit. You know what I mean?
You know why, Robert? I ain't bullshitting, know what I mean? I really believe that majority of athletes are taking shit.
They on that antler?
They taking shit they ain't supposed to be taking, homie. That's why, I mean...
I'm just calling all of it that antler.
Yeah, just fucking call it whatever you want, homie. But if you think about it, back in the day, you really didn't hear too many motherfuckers getting injured like this with little stupid-ass, you know, strains and, you know what I mean? Motherfuckers was playing. Nowadays, I mean, it's always, like it's a forearm. Was it, what was this fucking injury?
A flexor in his forearm.
Yeah, I mean... Come on, man. What kind of, how do you pull that?
Yeah.
From pitching?
I don't know, man. That could be it. I think dudes are bigger, faster, and stronger nowadays than back then, too. So what happens is you have more torque and force being put on the joints and ligaments. Niggas lift weights a lot more in baseball than they did back in the day.
Yeah, but in order for you to lift more weights, I mean, you got to take supplements.
Well, even without, let's say you lifting without supplements and shit like that, right? It's like, that's still an added strain on your body.
Okay.
You know what I mean? That baseball players in the 80s and early 90s, they wasn't putting their body under that. They really didn't lift that much back then. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Motherfuckers you just saw niggas with just natural strength. You know what I mean? Yeah. So... But I do agree with you, though. I think a lot of cats... nothing will surprise me to find out, you know, in terms of players being on that antler. You know what I mean?
Whatever it is.
Yeah. I just call... Like I said, I'm calling all of it that antler. Because, like, that, to me, that's the funniest name for a performance-enhancing drug. Yeah. Some deer antler.
Deer antler spray, baby. Let me get some.
That antler. So, yeah, man. Johnson gonna miss, like, 3 to 4 weeks.
Actually, no, I just seen today they said 4 to 5.
Oh, it's 4 to 5 now? Yeah. Oh, great. Black said they'll reevaluate him in 10 to 14 days. It don't matter, man.
He's gonna be out. He's gonna miss time.
And we're paying him $8 million.
That's man. What I'm saying. We keep reaching for these motherfuckers, man. Get somebody who we know has a history of staying healthy so we can at least. Motherfuckers always talk about value. Mm-hmm. How are you getting value out of a player? He's not even on the field.
Yeah, that's not value. Like, value is a nigga who you get for a couple million, but he gives you production.
Right.
Like what a $10 million player would give you.
Mm-hmm.
Value is not signing a hurt nigga and then being like, oh yeah, we getting value. Hopefully he stay healthy.
Yeah, no.
Love this dude, man.
Yep.
Yeah. And the other thing too, one thing I think a lot of people don't talk about enough in terms of baseball, a lot of these injuries could just be niggas like, just being like, I don't feel like playing, so I'm going to just be injured. Like, I'm going to say my shit hurt. You know what I mean?
It could be. I mean, but I don't think that's the case with Josh Johnson.
I'm not saying it is, but...
No, you're just talking about general.
In general, because, like, baseball contract is guaranteed, so it's real easy to be like, look, I'm cool off spring training.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to just be injured for the next month.
Yeah.
Get at me when the season starts.
Yeah, yeah. Because it's a long-ass season.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I can see that. I can see that.
Let's see. Quick update on Chase Headley's injury. They're saying he might be ready to go for opening day. He thinks it's possible he'll be ready for the March 30th opener. That's a week from now, a week from today.
Well, against the Dodgers, right?
Yep. Yeah. worst case scenario, if I miss a game or two in the regular season, that's better than missing 30, Helly said, as he massaged his right calf with a roller. Helly hopes he can play in an exhibition game within the week. The at-bats I'm not worried about because I'll go down to the minor leagues and I can get 5, 10, 15 in a day if I want, Helly said. It's more being on my feet, bouncing back, getting my legs conditioned to play every day. If I can get a week to 10 days of games, then I'll feel really good. Nigga, be healthy. Shit.
Yeah, like, fuck up with all that God. Shit.
Yeah, the comment section is funny. I always peek at the comment section.
Yeah, I do too. Yeah.
Somebody wrote, how long does it take to rehab a strained calf? That's some real shit, man. Like, yo, man, it shouldn't take that long to come back from that, homie.
Like you just said, some niggas might just be milking it.
Yeah. Like, look, just let me get to the season. Fuck all this spring training
shit. Yeah, he on the road.
Mm-hmm.
His wife probably ain't on the road with him. He out partying and shit. I mean, nigga, fuck baseball right now. Nigga, he having fun. Yeah, that's why, you know what? Hey, fans, stop getting so emotionally invested in this shit, because these players really don't give a fuck about this game like y'all do.
Players don't care nearly as much as the fans do. Mm-mm. That's for sure.
It's just a job.
This next story... about the Dodgers. Have you heard what's going on with Puig? Yeah. Oh, yeah, this is good. Mm-mm. All right, I'm going to read this article. It's a little on the longer side, but I'm going to read through it because I want you to just hear all of this and everything what's going on with this nigga.
Oh, shit. Okay, let me hear this shit.
Let's see. Don Mattingly has taken a lot of different tacks in managing Gastel Puig for the past year or so. Last spring, he marveled like everyone else at Puig's physical gifts and the way he could take over a game from older players. There wasn't much to do then but stand aside and watch. Then there was that stretch in June and July where Mattingly delighted at the youthful energy Puig brought to the club that was languishing with veterans. For a while, Puig was the favorite son. Then he got a little rowdy, and there was the summer slaps on the wrist. Mattingly bitched him a couple times last year, semi-publicly. Once, he was late to showing up to the clubhouse. Another time, he was so mad over at bat that he sauntered out to right field, not exactly delighting the pitchers. This nigga's like a little leaguer, homie.
Yeah.
He walked out to right field after a strikeout. Even when he disciplined Puig, Mattingly did so in a fatherly way, hoping it would make him a better player. Now you wonder whether Mattingly's patience, and he has plenty of it, is starting to enter a drought period. Back in October, Mattingly said he had a different vision of handling Puig than the rest of Dodgers management. That's already a red flag right there. Leave it to me, it'd be done one way, but that's not necessarily the way the organization wants things to go, Mattingly said in his famous offseason news conference. He wouldn't elaborate much, but he said, I think there has to be a development system that we adhere to with Yesel, along with the other guys. Puig chipped off another chunk of Mattingly's patience this spring when he showed up weighing 251 pounds, 26 more than he weighed at the end of last season, and 15 more than he weighed when he showed up the previous spring. So this nigga came in at the tree chain and fat.
Looking like CeCe Sabathia, huh?
Well, CeCe Sabathia's skinny now.
Oh, my bad. Well, Jamarcus Russell.
That's going to be our go-to fat person from now on.
Jay Russ. Hey, he was a bust.
When Mattingly was asked about it in February, he didn't even consult a trainer to double-check the numbers. He ticked them off the top of his head. It was clearly on his mind. He didn't think the extra weight would be a problem, but he was keeping a watchful eye on it. Puig batted 122 in spring training. At times, he seemed unfocused. This is a good part right here. In one drill, this is so good. In one drill, the Dodgers practiced calling for pop-ups. How rudimentary is that? Each of the veterans, including Adrian Gonzalez, Carl Crawford, and Andre Ether, took it seriously, dutifully calling for the ball and waving others off. So they're doing a basic-ass pop-up drill. You know, you got two lines, like, pop-up, you know, call somebody up, right? When it came to Puig's turn, he jokingly turned around in circles in right field and let the ball land in the grass behind him. You would imagine a 10-year veteran would not appreciate that kind of behavior from a player entering his first full season. Now only two games into the 2014 season, we see a little more faith arose. Before Sunday's game against the Diamondbacks, Mattingly playfully compared Puig to the boy who cried wolf, saying he never knows when he's actually hurt because he grabs a different body part every time he strikes out. After the game, a 7-5 Dodgers win that Puig left in the ninth, there was nothing playful in Mattingly's tone. Shoulder yesterday, back today, so I'm not sure if they're going to get him tested or get him an MRI on Monday or a bone scan on Tuesday, maybe, Manley said. I'm not quite sure what we'll do. After Puig's first base running gaffe on Sunday, Manley slapped him on the back when he came off the field. After the second, he did not. Seems pretty clear where this is going. Players with Puig volatile personality, they're a lot easier to like when they're batting 517 than when they're batting 122. Uh-huh. These early months will dictate how the Dodgers handle Puig going forward. The Diva Act will be tolerated as long as it rests on top of a starting batting average. Now, as far as the base running mistakes, I didn't know what they were, so I looked them up.
Uh-huh.
So the first one was, well, they both came off this nigga not paying attention, right?
Okay.
So the first one, he was on first base. Mm-hmm. Gonzalez was up. It was a 3-1 count. He thought it was 3-2. He took off running. It was ball four, but Puig didn't know where it was. He just took off, stole him, like, to steal a base. I'm not sure if he got out or if he, like, rounded and, like, tried to go to third or what. Mm-hmm. I'm not exactly sure.
Oh, my God. But he got thrown out.
He got, I think so. The second one, this is a bad one too. So he hit a single to shallow left. Oh, so D Gordon's on second base, right? Okay. Puig hits a single to shallow left, right? Mm-hmm. There's nobody out. So, and it's like a shallow, like, flat ball single. D Gordon has to hold up to make sure it's not caught, right? And then, so he goes to third. He doesn't score on that though, right?
Mm-hmm.
Puig, he's not paying attention. So he rounds first and just heads to second straight up, right? The left fielder comes up with the ball. Hits the cutoff, man. They see Puig trying to stretch that bullshit into a double. They throw his ass out at second, right? So instead of having runners on first and third with nobody out, now it's a runner on third with one out because this nigga's just running around, right? So, yeah, like they that completely changes the dynamic of the inning.
Yeah.
So this nigga just be out there on some other shit.
No, I don't think it's a thing of him paying attention. I think this nigga's don't just be out there just playing like wreck ball and shit with the homies.
Yeah, that. But I'm saying you can't do that in the big league level.
You can't. And from the sounds of how Manley's talking, he's saying it sounds like he, hey, get rid of this motherfucker.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because you know what the crazy part is? I will say this. The Dodgers are talented enough in the outfield to where they probably could trade that nigga and get something back.
I don't think you got to trade him. Send his ass back down to the minors to let him learn how to play baseball right.
Well, no, I'm just saying, though, if that's what Manley feel he needs to do, I mean, I wouldn't have a problem with it.
Mm-hmm. I wouldn't either.
Yeah.
Cause you can't be out there bullshitting and like you can't fucking do that. Around,
playing around and drilling shit. Cause you know, man, cause it's crazy. Because I get on my kids about this lack of focus and shit like that when we doing our drills and shit at practice. And I mean, I never had a kid do nothing like that, but it's just like, homie, I would lose my motherfucking top if I seen some shit like that.
Real shit. I would blow a gasket.
Yeah,
homie.
I would, homie. I would.
If we're doing a drill, you decide to like play around.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I would lose my shit. Yeah, I ain't even gonna lie.
Cause it's funny, man. I yelled at one of my players because it was a first and third situation. This is during the game. And it was a delay steal. And he ran straight to a tag with two outs. You know what I mean? And I fucking lost it on the field.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So, I mean, cause it's a simple shit like that. Like you said, change the dynamics of the game. At that point, it was a 0-0 tie in the bottom of the third. Then we went to the top of the fourth and these motherfuckers scored 8 runs.
Damn.
You know what I mean? Yeah. So it's just like, man, a little simple shit, like you just said, trying to stretch that single into a fucking double, you get thrown on that second for no fucking reason.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? It's just, as a coach, man, I mean, it's unacceptable.
Yeah.
Yeah, fuck it. I mean, if you need to send them down, yeah, send your punk ass down, learn your lesson, get your shit straight, and then we'll bring you back up when we feel you ready.
Yeah. You gotta learn how to be a professional. Mm-hmm. That's one of the things people don't talk about. It's not... At that level, it's not all about just how talented you are. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, you got to learn how to be a professional, especially in a sport like baseball, where it's, you know, day in, day out.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because how old is he? I know he's young.
He's like 23, something like that. He's in his early 20s.
Yeah, 23 years old.
At least that's what they tell us.
Right. You never know with them Latin players.
Yeah.
Yeah, 23 years old, so they say. He probably like 33.
33?
Mm-hmm. But yeah, like it seemed like Mattingly, he over it, homie.
Yeah, I know.
They're like, fuck this nigga. Cause like that, on the real, they could send him down and they could rock with Ethier in right field and be fine.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. They got enough talent in that outfield to where they could be like, nigga, you gotta go.
Right.
And I wouldn't be, as a Dodger fan, I wouldn't be mad cause this nigga's fucking up.
Speaking of players that organizations are a little fed up with, you hear about this shit with Jimmy Rollins and the Phillies?
I heard they were trying to trade him, but I didn't know that it was because something happened.
Well, I guess, because you know, what's his name? Ryan Sandberg is the
manager there. Rhino, that was my favorite player growing up. Rhino.
He said, he basically said, Jimmy Rollins needs to lead or leave. Mm. Ask him to be a leader. So, hold on, there's video of this article. Let's see what they're talking about.
Lead or leave?
But now his place in the organization is being questioned. I'm Kerry Chow, joined by ESPN.com senior baseball writer Jason Stark. Jason, reports surfaced that the Phillies were looking in shopping Rollins and that they'd be better off without him. Is that true?
Well, Kerry, you know, in some ways, this is a window into what they think of Jimmy Rollins. In some ways, it's a moot point. Actually, going back to last July, they have been trying to explore whether there's a trade market for this guy. And their biggest issue is, you know, he has total trade veto rights.
He's
been with the Phillies his whole career, and that gives him the right to approve or disapprove any trade. And I think their feeling has been, again, going all the way back to the last July, that it might be better for everybody to move on, but they think that he would only go to a team on the West Coast. There really isn't a West Coast team looking for a shortstop, and so they don't have anywhere to turn. But when you add this to the little dust-up with Ryan Sandberg last week, I think it tells you that they're getting increasingly frustrated with Jimmy Rollins.
And speaking of that dust-up with Ryan Sandberg, the new manager, Rollins has been benched in the spring. Is there more to it? I mean, Sandberg mentioned that it's for rest, but is there more to this conflict?
Well, that no comment that Ryan Sandberg gave when he was asked about whether he was seeing enough positive energy and leadership from Jimmy Rollins kind of said it all. Now, the next day, Ryan Sandberg said he wished he hadn't said that. I'm sure he did wish he hadn't said that. But, all no comments are not created equal. And that was one no comment that had plenty of commentary in it. It really.
So did you hear what happened last week?
No, I didn't.
He benched him for like 3 days.
Ooh.
Yeah, Sandberg benched Rollins for like 3 days. Mm-hmm. And they didn't really get to the bottom of what it was about, you know. But yeah, man, it seems like him and Sandberg are already clashing.
You know what? I really don't even know what to think about this situation. Just for the simple fact, I've really never heard nothing bad coming out of that camp about Jimmy Rollins. Now all of a sudden you got a new manager, now there's issues and shit.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, man. I don't know what to think about that.
Me neither. I mean, like, I know Jimmy Rollins' production has been down the last couple of years.
I mean, he's older now.
Yeah, but that don't mean he ain't still a good player.
Right.
And I think if you're the Phillies, you're better with him on your team than without him. Mm-hmm. That's for sure, you know.
Yeah, so, I mean, I want to know what the issue is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it said Rollins came out and said he was confused by the benching. Mm-hmm. Wasn't sure exactly what it was about, so... Mm-hmm. Yeah, man,
I don't know about that, man.
It might be your boy Sandberg, just, you know, we talk about egos, yeah, motherfuckers come in and be like...
That's what it sounds like.
Yeah.
Don't make me have to come out there and fuck you up, Sandberg.
Your boy might be racist, homie.
Yeah, you might not shit, like I know, niggas. I know, real shit. I mean, you know what's crazy? That's why I was going to start my commentary on with. But I was like, you know what, homie, I don't really want to go there because I don't know for sure, homie. But, I mean, that's what it's, you know what I always say, homie, whenever there's shit going on like this, and it's up in the air, and you really can't pinpoint why something's happening, I always go to the racial aspect, homie, because there's no reason for this to shit on a motherfucker.
Right.
You know what I mean? I don't know, bro. You may be right, homie.
Yeah. Excuse me. I'm clicking, looking for, like, reasons why he got bitched, and I can't find nothing, like, as far as why it happened.
No, Sandberg, don't make me come up there and fuck you up, homie. I ain't playing.
Dolly B just found out one of his childhood heroes is a racist.
I gotta go fuck you up now. That's some bullshit. Cause I like Jimmy Rollins. I fucks with him. He's from Oakland. You know what I mean? He's a California native. Yeah, I fucks with all my California players, homie. But yeah, don't be trying to do my nigga dirty like that, homie.
I found this. Sure. It says sources indicate that some in influential positions in the organization. We want Rollins to be a leader by investing himself more thoroughly in daily work and setting a strong example for others. If Rollins isn't going to do that, the sentiment of some is that the team would be better off moving him as soon as possible. Like, okay, so what does that mean?
What does that mean? Yeah, well, I mean, what is he not doing?
Exactly. You say, you know, want him to invest himself more thoroughly in daily work. You don't become an MVP in baseball by not working hard every day. So I refuse to believe that a few years ago, Rollins was just showing up at the park and then, you know what I'm saying, just going out and hitting 300. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm sure he comes in every day, works hard, da, da, da. Like, I don't know, do they want him to, like, take young players under you know, his wing and shit like that? Maybe he's not that dude, though.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean? So I don't think it's fair to ask him to do that if he's not that dude.
Mm-hmm.
Alright. Yeah, like you say, what is he not doing? I think what it is honestly, he's 35, he's going to make $11 million this year, and they want to move on from him, and they don't know how to do it. You're like, you can't trade him because he has no trade clause. You know what I mean? So it's like...
But that don't mean come talk, act like he ain't a leader and all that shit. Because now that creates doubts in other teams' heads.
Exactly.
Who would want to trade for him now? You talking about he ain't a leader.
You talking about he don't work hard.
That don't make no sense, homie. You want to trade this motherfucker. You can't find motherfuckers that want him, but you shitting on him.
Yeah.
Man, fuck the Phillies. Homie, hope y'all come in last, punks.
It's probably some racist shit. It goes back to that shit. We've talked about this a lot before, man. Like, one thing about Jimmy Rollins that I fuck with is he make baseball look smooth, right?
Yeah, he do.
And a lot of people, they don't like that. Like, think about how much they love Chase Utley there, right? Where Chase Utley's a good player. Mm-hmm. I like Chase Utley.
Mm-hmm.
But Chase Utley, like Dustin Pedroia, he a try-hard dude, where it looks like everything he's doing, it looks like he's putting maximum effort into it, right?
Because they have to, because they're not athletically gifted like Jimmy Rollins.
Right. Whereas, like, a Jimmy Rollins or a Robinson Cano, it's not that they're not trying hard. It's not that they're not exerting effort. They're just, because of where they are physically, they're able to do it and make it look much smoother than everybody else. And for some reason, that fucks with people, man.
You know, I'm telling you, it goes back to the racial shit, homie.
Yeah,
because, you know, I mean, you gotta be real, homie. Mm-hmm. White people just, they aren't as athletic as Africans. Almost Africans.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard for them to believe that, man, they just ball can't make the shit look easy. Yeah, because we're athletically gifted. Mm-hmm. That's what athleticism is.
Right.
You know what I mean? You guys don't have it, so you have to give maximum effort just to keep up.
Mm-hmm.
So you think everybody has to do that? No, we don't have to do that, homie.
Right.
I don't have to give maximum effort just to be good.
Or it changes to because you're not, because you don't look like you're struggling as much as everybody else, that means you're not trying hard or something like that. You know what I mean? Yeah, I don't like that shit, man.
I don't either.
So, I don't know, man. I found that story earlier in the week.
Shit now. But yeah, let's say. Going on.
Oh, I want to see what it's about.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, man. It might just be one of them things where they want to move on. My thing is too. Like, even if you want to move on from them, like, just be honest about it.
Yeah.
Be like, look, man, Jimmy Rollins has been a great player for us.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? He's been a key, like, won a World Series with us and shit. You know what I mean?
MVP.
Like, but, you know, as is the case in sports, sometimes you have to move on from older players. Mm-hmm. Like, we want to move on from Jimmy Rollins. Mm-hmm. You know, no disrespect to him, but it's what we want to do, right? I can respect that. You know what I mean? Because everybody gets old. Everybody falls off. You know what I mean? It is what it is. But you don't have to shit on a dude on the way out.
Yeah, see, that's why I think it is more of a racial thing more than anything. Because, let's say it was Chase Utley. You think they'd do him like that?
Probably not.
That's what I'm saying.
But another thing, too, is low-key, Chase Utley has fallen off over the last couple years, too.
Yeah, been hurt, a grip.
He missed a gang of time.
Mm-hmm.
They don't talk about him, though.
Hey, how come he ain't going to be a leader? How come, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Come on.
Yeah, man. So, yeah, well, I definitely want to follow that story, too, man. Keep an eye on it, see what happens.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Moving into the other big thing going on right now, college basketball, homie.
Yeah,
that tourney, that madness.
Yeah,
it's been a good tournament too.
Man, fuck you, Robert.
Why you mad, Dallas?
Cause you foul, homie. Cause nigga, I mean, you know, I give it to you. It was a smart move. This man, you know, used some vacation time and shit, you know. Took what, Thursday and Friday, y'all?
Thursday and Friday,
you know, but the fucked up part is the rest of the homies is working. So this nigga wanna be texting his shit while niggas is at work. Oh man, this game is good. I'm like, oh, okay. This random shit like that throughout Thursday and Friday. I'm like, okay, this nigga don't stop texting me, homie.
this bullshit making me mad. I'm already having fucked up days at work and shit. This nigga texts me, ball, nigga, I'm missing the games and shit. Like, where you at, nigga? You ain't watching these games? Nah, nigga ain't watching the game. I'm working, shit. Nigga.
That's your bad. Get like me.
Yeah, but it's been a lot of madness, homie.
Yeah, let's see. So, Ohio State got upset. Duke got upset. This is our first round. Fuck that playing bullshit. That ain't the first round. Thursday and Friday is the first round.
Yeah.
So, let's see. Duke, Ohio State. Who else got upset?
I can't remember. I'm pretty sure some more upset.
We just saw one today. Stanford beat Kansas just now in the second round. Let's see, who else? It was a gang of them, too. Syracuse lost yesterday. We saw the end of that.
You know why, though?
Why?
I told you yesterday, we was at your mom's house, nigga. We weren't buffing them fools, said, oh, yeah, we're going to throw this little shit out there, about $1 billion. We're going to fix some games in these first two days.
I don't even think it was fixed. It's just, this shit is just unpredictable when it comes to college basketball. But, okay, speaking of that, I'm glad you mentioned that bracket shit.
Oh, the bracket shit.
Well, because, like, basically, it was a genius move. Did you fill out one of those?
I did.
See?
Yeah, I did.
And you had to, what information did you have to put in there?
My email address and... just your general information.
Your name. So now they got contact information to contact you with
the quick and long shit.
To sales and marketing shit. See? Mm-hmm. It was brilliant by them. They probably got millions of people's contact info. And they didn't have to do nothing to get it.
They were bogging the shit up out of your ass.
Yep. And then out of the millions of people who submitted their shit, if they get a couple thousand people to buy their products, then they came up.
Yeah.
Let's see, Wichita State.
Yeah, Kentucky is this halftime now. I was trying to see. I thought it was the end of the game.
Wichita State giving it to them. But the thing about I didn't even fill out a bracket this year. I stopped filling out brackets a couple years ago just because, unless it's like a work pool or something like that. Mm-hmm. But even with those, man, this shit is too unpredictable, man.
Yeah, it is.
Too
many teams, too many games.
Mm-hmm. The biggest teams to watch out for are teams that have a bunch of seniors or juniors and seniors been playing together for like 3 or 4 years. Because that's how Duke lost to Mercer. That Duke got a gang of freshmen this year, which they don't usually have. They usually get 3 or 4 year guys, and that Mercer team got a gang of experience, and they was able to give it to them. And he saw the white boy dancing and shit.
That shit was funny, homie. That shit was funny. I love it. The fucking homie, you won. You can do whatever the fuck you want
to
do, homie.
Hey, if you upset a team like Duke, you get to party.
Yeah.
Do whatever the fuck you want to do.
Yep.
I fuck with that. But yeah, man, this one of the best tweets I saw came from my boy K-Bad. You've heard me mention the Firestarter podcast before.
Yeah.
That's one of my favorite podcasts. But he sent out a tweet. It was after, I don't remember which upset he came after, but he was like, hey, your bracket is cooked and nobody cares. Grab a cold pop or brew, kick your feet up, and just enjoy the most wonderful time of the year. That's some real shit, man, because that's one thing. Yeah, I get sick of people trying to tell me about their bracket, because like I said, I don't fill out a bracket no more. But I was at the bar on Thursday, and I had to leave because this white dude kept bugging me about his bracket, homie. I was like, nigga, I don't care about your fucking bracket.
Yeah, see that? Yeah. Now, see, I feel you on that. Because, me, I feel when I... Honestly, I ain't even looked at the shit since I filled it out.
Right.
You know what I mean? But I'll probably wait till the end of the fucking, like, the Final Four just to see, you know what I'm saying, how close I can to getting the shit right. That's all I care about. I ain't about to be kind. Hey, nigga, guess what? Man, fuck all that, homie.
Yeah.
Unless I was going to hit $1 billion of shit. That's the only time I'd be proud. Like, nigga, I'm about to get $1 billion, nigga. You know what I mean? Then I'm talking shit. But other than that, nigga, man, who gives a fuck?
Exactly. Yeah, man, no one cares about your bracket. You know what I mean? Like, you shouldn't either. Just enjoy the weekend. Enjoy the game.
Yeah.
It's funny that the first weekend ain't even over yet, and there's no perfect brackets left.
You know what's crazy? I didn't even read the article. I just seen the headline, whatever, on Yahoo. And it's a dude who still have a perfect bracket right now, but he didn't do it. He didn't fucking do it through the thing.
Oh, for real?
Yep.
Wow.
Yep. I hope that nigga win, too.
I don't wish that on nobody.
I do.
He would be disgusted. Yeah, you know how disgusted he would be?
Because my thing is, homie, why? Okay, if you know you're gonna fill out a bracket, why would you just put it, fill one out for the $1 billion challenge?
Because you don't want to give them your personal information.
I mean, they already got, man. I mean, when you own fucking the internet anyway, man, you always on there doing shit. I mean, at some point, you're going to put your personal information on there. You know what I mean? Like, you putting your social security number and like that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, yeah, man. I hope you go perfect through the whole tournament and be kicking yourself, homie. And your bitch going to leave you.
Dally be foul.
And your bitch going to leave you. Oh, you did it. What? Oh, fuck you. I'm out.
You could have had $1 billion, yep. You dumb motherfucker.
Hey, I would be disgusted. You know the emptiness in his stomach he would feel if he does a perfect bracket? I don't think he'll do it, though. I don't think it's possible.
Anything is possible, but I doubt it. Yeah. If he did, though, he'd be walking around like a zombie.
Yeah. So I could have $1 billion. What's up, man? Okay.
That nigga gonna be looking at Lamborghinis and shit in the window with his hands on the side of his face.
He like, didn't we almost have it all? And if I was his homeboy, I would be fucking with him like that too.
I would too, homie.
I'd call him up. If that was you and you did that, I'd be, didn't we almost have it all?
And just hang up.
Oh, man, that is hilarious, homie.
Man,
that's too funny. You know, speaking of the tournament, my boys, the San Diego State University Aztecs, on to the Sweet 16. Mm-hmm. They doing it. First game against New Mexico State, they gave me a scare, man. They was up in that game in the second half. They should have put it away, and they didn't quite do it. Let them back in it. Had a fucked up play where they was trying to inbound it, let New Mexico State foul them. And then go to the free throw line. Mm. The inbound pass bounced off of, I think it was Thames, bounced off of his arm, went out of bounds. New Mexico State inbounded, got a layup, and forced overtime in their first round game. But they were able to pull away from them. Mm-hmm. In their second round, listening to these media people, they had me scared about North Dakota State, talking about they led the country in field goal percentage and shit like that. Because, like, I mean, that's the thing about the tournament. Nobody has seen all these teams play.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's impossible.
So you're just going by numbers.
Right. And so they're talking about, yeah, you know, they're a scary offense, da-da-da. You know, they beat Oklahoma and, you know, this and that. Homie, when they went up against San Diego State, they had not seen a defense that good. They hadn't seen athletic talent that good. Mm-hmm. They was flabbergasted. Mm-hmm. They couldn't score.
Yeah.
Held them to 44 points, homie, and just gave it to him. So, yeah, man, like, we on for the Sweet 16. We're going to play either Arizona or Gonzaga, depending on who wins that game.
Mm.
But I know, that's going to be a good game.
It's going to be a tough, it's going to be a hard game to win. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But, okay, let me ask you this.
What's up?
Because State already played against Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
So, would you rather want to face a team that you already faced? And, I mean, it was earlier in the season. State was fucking with them.
Mm-hmm.
Ended up losing the game. But would you rather go up against that team again because you've seen them and possibly, you know, you can come out with a better, you know, strategy against them, or go up against Gonzaga, which probably is a lesser talented team than Arizona, but they're still a good team?
I'd rather face a less talented team.
Okay, okay.
Because Arizona, damn, that was a bad shot. Arizona, they've been a talented, good team all year long.
Right.
And I'm not afraid. They keep showing
that kid, homie. Damn.
He got them March Madness tears, homie. Right.
Wanny, wanny, oh, boo boo.
Man.
They derailing our podcast when they keep showing that kid. Arizona, like, you know, we hung with them. It was like an 8-9 point game or something like that. But they got a dude, like, they got a dude who might be one of the top 2 or 3 players drafted.
All right.
You know what I mean? They have talent all around. Mm-hmm. I'd rather play. Another thing, too, Gonzaga. Let's say Gonzaga figures out a way to fight, scratch, and pull that game out. That's going to be an emotional and draining game for them to come away with. So I'd rather play them coming off of that. Emotionally, there has to be a little bit of a come down off of that. You know what I mean? I think we can beat either team.
Yeah.
But I'd rather face Gonzaga.
Okay. We're going to find out, though, man. I'm definitely going to watch that game today. That's going to be a good one.
It's at 3:30, 3:40 it comes on?
Something like that. Approximately.
Yeah. I know, because they always have the times listed, and then they move them back, depending on... Like, they did that with San Diego State.
Yeah, that's what... I can't even watch the end of the San Diego State game. Well, I was already tired as fuck. I had work. I had practice. Little Dallas had a game and shit. So I came home... And the game was just starting. I got home at like 7:15. I was like, damn, I thought the game was already going to be on. Mm-hmm. So I took me shower, ate, I'm washed. I'm on the couch, homie. I fell asleep on the couch. I was like, ah, oh, homie, I didn't even get to see the game. And then I woke up and seen it in the overtime. I was like, man, I'm glad I went to sleep, homie.
Mm-hmm.
Shit, these motherfuckers prolonging the games and shit.
Yeah, that's some bullshit. Damn. But, I mean, that'll start to slow down as there's less and less games. That first mm-hmm. weekend is just crazy because yeah. it's so many games and so mm-hmm. much going on. Mm-hmm. Let's see. The other shit, Dayton, they on that upset train. They mm-hmm. They beat Ohio State in the first round, Syracuse in the second round.
Yeah.
Now they go up against Stanford. So that should be an interesting matchup.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's see. What's the other game? Let's see. North Carolina and Iowa State today. That should be a good game.
Okay.
What's the other good matchups? Mercer, who beat Duke, they play against Tennessee later on today. They should be able to win that, actually.
Yeah, yeah. Because I remember they were talking about Tennessee barely was going to get into the tournament.
Right. Then they wound up beating UMass once. That's what's so crazy about the tournament. It'd be teams that's like, okay, they might get in, they might not, mm-hmm. barely, da da da. And they get in, they win a game
yeah.
or two.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. The thing that jumped out to me though, like the best team I seen in all the games I watched, you know, these past 3 days, Florida just looked like mm-hmm. the best team I seen so far. Mm-hmm. Like, they played against, I saw pretty much all of that game yesterday against Pitt. Mm-hmm. I didn't see their first round game, against, Colorado, or I don't know, Colonial, whoever they play, I don't know. But yesterday against Pitt, I was watching that game, and you know, Pitt was kind of there with them in the first half. Mm. That second half, they hit another gear, nigga.
Like, good teams do shit like that.
And that goes back to what I was talking about, like when you talk about in college, like the level, college sports, level of talent.
Yeah.
You just started to see the difference in the physical talent.
Yeah.
For these niggas from Florida was jumping out the stands blocking shots. Like, yo, the Pittsburgh players was like, where that nigga come from?
Like, them niggas on that Adler.
Yeah, right. Yo, I was sitting on my couch, my eyes was big as shit. I was like, where that nigga come from?
Right.
How that nigga, like, they was getting steals and shit.
Right.
Like, cause you always talk here in basketball, they talk about dudes being long and shit.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, them niggas, they was getting steals, mm-hmm. blocking them niggas' mm-hmm. shots. Like, Pittsburgh was just looking like, oh, we can't do shit against
right.
these niggas.
You know? Coach, can you make some adjustments? Nigga, I'm trying, nigga, shit.
Right. So, yeah, man, like, from what I've seen so far, I won't be surprised if Florida don't win it all. Or mm-hmm. I'll be surprised if they don't win it all. Because mm-hmm. they're, to me, of all the teams I've seen, like, the best team I've seen so far.
Okay.
That I've actually seen with my own two mm-hmm. eyes. They look dominant.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah. And it, like I say, they got talent. A gang mm-hmm. of talent. So, we'll see what happens, man. So, yeah. We got to get the podcast done so I can make sure I get have time to see that Arizona and Gonzaga game.
Yeah, that's going to be a good one, homie. I'm looking forward to that shit.
Let's see. What else we got to talk about today? Oh, the other thing I want to talk about with college is, you hear the story about this lawsuit that got going? The antitrust lawsuit?
Not really.
All right. So, Jeffrey Kessler, I don't know who that is, mm-hmm. files a lawsuit against the NCAA.
Mm-hmm.
Jeffrey Kessler is a sports labor attorney, right?
Okay.
So, the key point of the lawsuit, I'm not going to read this whole article.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of legal stuff. It's boring, da-da-da. And we've talked about this a little bit before, but like the key point of the lawsuit, and it's an antitrust lawsuit,
mm-hmm.
Where the main argument that he's making is that the NCAA caps the earning potential of the athletes at the value
of a scholarship.
Scholarship.
I did hear about that.
Yeah.
Okay,
right.
Okay.
So if you think about it in these terms, right? Let's say San Diego State. I don't even know how much it costs to go to school there now, but let's say a 4-year degree
mm-hmm.
costs, say, I don't know, $60,000
okay.
over 4 years,
mm-hmm.
right? So what the argument is like they're capping it. Let's say you're a basketball player at San Diego State.
Mm-hmm.
The most you can earn
okay.
is $60,000
yeah.
worth.
Right, right.
But what if you generate $75 million for the
right,
program,
right?
Right?
Okay.
So like that's the issue with that's the grounds that they're
mm-hmm.
suing on or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to force them to look at it in that term
mm-hmm.
versus just cuz everybody just focuses on you got to pay the athletes and
mm-hmm.
pay them a paycheck.
Mm-hmm.
And like what I like is that now they're approaching it from more just basic like labor terms
mm-hmm.
in terms of like the lawsuit we talked about before, the dude from Northwestern,
right?
In terms of like, you got to give your, these dudes are employees, you got to give them basic protections that you'd have to give employees in any other walk of life, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Same with this shit. Like, you can't have collusion amongst a whole bunch of universities mm-hmm. to cap these niggas' ability to earn at X amount of dollars. You know what I mean?
Right.
And so, they talk about how, it says right here, the main objective is to strike down permanently the restrictions that prevent athletes in Division I basketball and the top-tier college football from being fairly compensated for the billions of dollars in revenues that they help generate. Yeah. In no other business, and college sports is a big business, would it even be suggested that the people who are providing the essential services work for free. Only in big-time college sports is that line drawn.
Mm.
That's some real shit, man. I feel like too many people got this like 1950s view of what college sports is like. Mm. Like, oh, you know, they just go to class and then in the afternoons they go to practice or play a game. These niggas be up at 6 in the morning for weight training, meetings, conditioning. Then you go, you can fit maybe 1-2 classes in. Then you go to practice, more meetings, games, whatever, travel for games and shit like that. While the schools is making hundreds of millions of dollars a year.
Yeah.
And you don't get shit.
And just like, remember we talked about the shit with Kentucky last week about fans coming, wanting to get shit signed and all this shit. And it's crazy because they was talking about this on, what's the new dude on 1090 that just replaced Hacksaw?
I don't know. I know you're talking about. I don't know his name though.
He was talking about like when he was in college, you know, he said they got $28 a weekend per diem for, you know, for to eat.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, I was on food stamps, you know what I mean? All this shit. So it's like people talk all this shit about scholarships, but at the same time, it's year to year.
Mm-hmm.
So what if you're a new coach and after your first year, you say, you know what, your services are no longer needed.
Right.
And a coach is able to do that, which I'm like, homie, I never knew that until I remember I saw the shit about Calipari went to Kentucky and he let a gang of motherfuckers go.
I said,
damn, and they allowed this?
Mm-hmm.
That's when I just ultimately changed my whole view about that shit. I said, oh no, you gotta pay these niggas, homie.
Right.
Cause you can boot these niggas at any time, homie. Yeah, it's fucked up.
The best analogy I heard, shout out to the black guy who tips, man. He said, it's like, I'm gonna pay you in arcade tokens, but you can only use them in my arcade. But then I can decide that you can't come to my arcade no more, so then what you gonna do? You know what I mean?
Like, real shit, you asked out.
Yeah, you can't do shit.
You asked out, homie. Now you gotta shop around trying to go to another school. And yeah, you're fucked. You are fucked, homie. Yeah, that shit is foul, man. You know what? I mean, they got a good case, homie.
Yeah, it's only a matter of time, man, before this shit, basically, the bubble's gonna burst, and it's all gonna fall apart. And like, as much as I love, you know, March Madness and shit like that, like if it came to a point where like all the fucking NFL or NBA caliber players no longer went to college, like say we talked about it, the shit Mark Cuban was talking about, if they developed the D League, a farm system or whatever, and this shit looked more like intramural basketball or whatever, I'd be fine with that. You know what I mean?
Still watch it.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Like, we got to get rid of the illusion that there's such a thing as student athletes. You know what I mean?
Because
it's like, you either a student or you an athlete. You really can't do both, homie.
Yeah.
At least not in any kind of real way. You know what I mean? So, yeah, we'll see where it goes, man. Obviously, I'm rooting for the niggas to get paid.
Yeah, me too.
Compensated fairly. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So, yeah. But that's it for college, though, man. Real quick in the NBA, ain't much cooking right now, just waiting for the playoffs to start, and then we'll really kind of talk about it more in depth every week. But with the NBA, did you see the shit where Phil Jackson got introduced as the Knicks president?
Yeah.
You think it matter?
Is
it going to make any kind of difference?
I think it could.
You think so?
Yeah, so, I mean, I think he's, when it comes to basketball, this motherfucker know what he's doing.
As a coach, though.
Yeah. But what I'm saying is, I think that he can guide that organization in the right direction. Mm-hmm. I mean, you already got Carmelo talking about, I mean, if he feel I need to change some of my game, I'll do it.
Mm-hmm.
He commands that type of respect.
Okay, I feel
you. Know what I'm saying? So now you got motherfuckers saying, hey, he may scrap, I mean, get rid of some players and get other motherfuckers in here. I mean, motherfuckers want to come play for Phil Jackson.
But see, okay, that's where it goes back to, though. As a coach, though, he's not going to be on the court.
Yeah, I mean, but he was making decisions, though, homie. So he might get a coach in there who has the same philosophy as him, like a Brian Shaw type motherfucker.
Or they were saying Steve Kerr might end up.
Steve Kerr, I mean, you know what I mean? Come up in there and then, because, I mean, if you're the president of an organization, homie, if you're smart, you would get motherfuckers that think like you.
Right.
Who's going to be on the same page? So you don't have the AJ Smith, Marty Schottenheimer type incidents, you know what I mean? So, I mean, I can see the Knicks turning their organization around. Well, okay. If they're going to do it, I don't know. Mm-hmm. But I have confidence in Phil Jackson, homie.
Well, part of the problem they have is, one, they're way up against over the cap. They can't really do shit the next 2 years because of a lot of bad contracts that won't come off the books. And I don't think they have a draft pick this year. They don't have one because of the trade they made to get Carmelo.
Okay.
So they don't have a draft pick this year.
Mm-hmm.
And their cap is all fucked up.
Mm-hmm.
So even if he had all the magical powers to fix everything, like he can't fix that shit right now. That's just going to take time.
Be patient.
Right. The other thing, too, is like, you know, like the shit you was talking about, I think that shit is more effective as a motherfucker, as a coach. Because even as a head coach, his strength wasn't X's and O's. Like, everybody knows, like, when he was with the Bulls and the Lakers, Tex Winter was the dude who was, like, the X and O dude. Mm-hmm. His thing was, like, being able to get motherfuckers to buy in. He was more of a, like a manager of people. Yeah, you know what I mean? I just don't know how much that's going to matter if he's so far removed from the bench. You get what I'm saying?
But see, that's what I'm saying. You gotta get good coaches in here who have the same philosophy as you do, so that translate to on the court. You know what I mean? Because, I mean, he don't want to coach.
And the other thing, too, I don't even know how much he want to do this job, because he was already asking how many days a year he got to spend in New York.
I'll thank you, my man. Take what I just said back, homie. This nigga asked how many days he. Oh, see, he's not fully invested in this shit, homie. Oh, yeah, you may be right, Robert. This shit might not work for them, homie. I didn't know that.
People forget how old he is. I think he's what, like 69, 70?
Yeah, he got a girlfriend that's in LA too, or fiance, or whatever shit. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's trying to get that pussy. That's what it is. He's trying to get that pussy. That nigga want to be in New York all the time. He trying to fuck nigga on the West Coast. That's what it is, homie.
I can't blame him for taking a job. Mm-hmm. They paid him
what was it, like $12 million?
$12 million a year.
Oh, a year?
A year.
Ooh.
Make sure I read that right. Yeah.
Phil Jackson's a
hustler.
He
confirmed that the contract is for 5 years and the team will pay him $12 million a year.
Mm-hmm.
So he just clocked $60 million.
He ain't gonna be fully into the shit. He gonna be drafting sorry ass niggas too.
Mm-hmm.
Bojangles, I know. Fuck you, States.
That's crazy, homie. Yeah, man. I'm trying to find where I remember reading that earlier this week.
If that's true, homie, then I don't know, homie. I don't know about that.
Yeah, honestly, I think I would have been. I would have felt more comfortable hiring him as a player personnel dude, like maybe like 5-10 years ago, but. Mm-hmm. Another thing too, man, being a player personnel dude, a front office dude, is a different job than being a head coach. That's the other thing. Just like with Michael Jordan as a player versus Michael Jordan as an owner or as a GM, it's been a real difference, you know what I mean? So, hold on, let me see if I can find it. He's 68 years old.
Dang, I didn't know he was that old.
Yeah.
Ooh.
So by the time the contract's up, he'll be what, 73?
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's see. Yeah, I can't find it. But yeah, he asked, and I think that was part of the negotiation, was how much time does he have to spend in New York to do the job?
And they still signed his ass. That's crazy.
And he said during the press conference, he was like, "Yeah, the weather was a lot better in L.A. than when I got it." This is when he's at the press conference getting announced.
Phil Jackson is ill, homie. He don't even give a fuck.
He don't care.
Y'all just paid me, homie, and I'm still gonna talk shit.
Yeah,
that's crazy. And he can give a fuck too what they say about him.
Mm-hmm. He don't care.
He not care. Cause you know what? Cause I think he figured it out, homie. Once you get that mentality to, like, you know what? These motherfuckers don't give a fuck about me. I'm gonna say whatever I want to. I'm already paid. Right. Fuck y'all.
Mm-hmm.
Once you get that mentality, you'll be all right. You know, you get niggas like Golden Tate. Oh, right. He said this. I'm like, nigga. When if they were to ask me a question about it, you know, I'm like, fuck him. I'm paid. Just like I remember right. LeBron, I think it was the first year LeBron came to Miami, and he was like, well, you know, all those people talking stuff, they still gonna have to go home and deal with their everyday issues.
Yep.
Hey, that's real shit.
That's real. That's true.
Yeah. Stop being mad at me, homie, mm-hmm. because you, nigga, your wife is cheating on you and you ain't making a gang of money and shit. Why you mad at me, nigga, for what I do?
Right.
Go get that bitch. Don't be mad at me. You know what I mean?
That's true.
That's real shit. So once you get that mentality, I'll be talking shit. I can't be no pro athlete. They be like, man, don't interview this nigga no more. He make the team look bad. I would just say whatever I want you, nigga. Fuck y'all.
I feel you. You got me cracking up. Imagine you being an athlete and they keep coming to you, putting a mic in your face.
I'll just say the same shit all the time, homie.
Like, nigga, I'm paid.
I'm paid, homie. This is my job.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Would you interview me for free?
That's real shit. People don't talk about that enough, man. Like, they always expect athletes to do some shit for free.
Yeah. Can you imagine going to your job and they say, hey, Robert, we want you to do all this shit, but we ain't gonna pay you that, nigga.
Nigga, you know, I would laugh in their face and walk the fuck out.
I'm getting the fuck up. I see y'all there on the rebound.
Yeah. Pay me in hope.
Right.
Pay me in promises. Nah, man, fuck you.
Fuck that.
Let's see. All right, man. That's pretty much it for the bulk of the main sports stories this week. But that all, you know, that just means that leads us into our crazy ass stories.
Crazy ass stories. Loco en la cabeza.
All right. The first one, this is a story we've been covering for a couple weeks in a row now about Russell Wilson playing baseball.
Okay.
Bo Jackson spoke on it. Did you hear what he said?
Oh, you know what? Me and the kid was talking about this the other day. I haven't read it, but I kind of got an idea of what he said, but go ahead.
Well, Bo Jackson came out and said that Russell Wilson should stay focused on football.
Mm-hmm.
He said, stick to what got you in the headlines, not
mm-hmm.
baseball.
Mm-hmm.
Jackson said, 25 or 30 years ago when I did it, I'm not trying to say anything negative about other athletes, but the talent pool wasn't that deep. In this day and age, with all the high-tech training, computer engineer workout, and the proper food and diet, if you try to concentrate on two sports, I guarantee you're going to ride the bench in both because the talent is that deep. Stick to whatever your sport you're comfortable with and let everything else go. Wilson, who led the Seahawks to a Super Bowl victory in February, spent a day with the Texas Rangers in spring training after the club selected him in the Rule 5 draft in December. He said he missed the game of baseball, which he started playing when he was 4 years old, but that his priority remained the Seahawks. Never say never, Wilson said in early March, I've always had the dream of playing two sports. If somehow it was a miracle that it could work out, I'd consider it. At the same time, my focus is winning the championship with the Seahawks, and I hope to be playing for a long time. Bo Jackson came out. He said he says he doubts he could play both sports at an elite level in today's athletic environment. And that's crazy considering how fucking athletic Bo Jackson was.
Yeah, he was good in both sports.
Yeah, he says I probably couldn't do it. He says just because the talent pool is that deep now, if my kids want to do both sports, no. If you try to do both, you're going to be riding the bench in both. You'll never get to that level that you want to get to if you spend time between multiple sports. Bo Jackson made an all-star team and a Pro Bowl, all-star team in baseball, Pro Bowl in football, was a Heisman Trophy winning running back.
Mm-hmm.
That's absurd. He's one of, and he has the distinction of being the greatest video game, athlete in the history of video games.
because it's funny, because, and we're talking about Tecmo Bowl.
Yeah.
Actually, both of them. So, for if we got listeners that was born like in the 90s and shit, y'all really don't know about playing Nintendo and Tecmo Bowl and shit. Bo Jackson, I mean, you know what's crazy? I mean, I had to kind of just stop from what I was talking about, but Bo Jackson is the reason why I like the Raiders. That's what I tell motherfuckers.
Because he was sick on Tecmo Bowl?
No, not on Tecmo Bowl, just because, you know, I watch football, you know what I mean? And I was like, damn, homie, who is this motherfucker right here?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because you know what? Till this day, I mean, you can say what you want to about Adrian Peterson.
Mm-hmm.
I have not seen anybody come close to what Bo Jackson was, homie, on those playing fields, homie.
Yeah, he's just physically dominant.
He's just so physical. Yeah, you knew you could not fuck with him.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And it was so sad. I remember I was watching that game against the Cincinnati Bengals. I was probably like 10 years old, nigga.
Mm-hmm.
I was at the pad. Me and my brother, my older brother, he liked to register. We watching the game. And, you know, he came out the game. I was like, damn, homie, Bo Jackson hurt? I was like, okay, ain't tripping. He'll be back. Luckily, we had Marcus Allen. He came in there and put in work week one. Mm-hmm. So they was like, Bo Jackson ain't playing next week. I'm like, oh, okay. Then he was like, oh, this nigga got to retire. Nigga, I was devastated. I said, what?
Was you crying like that
kid? Nah, I was crying, but nah, nigga. Hell no. Yeah, shit, like, I don't remember. I hope I wasn't shit. But, yeah, you know what, man? I was just devastated. But, yeah, this that nigga Bo Jackson was just a supreme athlete. Mm-hmm. But getting back to what he was saying about Russell Wilson, I kind of agree to what he's saying. But at the same time, Russell Wilson's not playing baseball.
Right.
He's just at spring training. He fucking off.
He had fantasy baseball.
Yeah, he fucking off right now. He ain't about to go make the team and, nigga, have 500 at-bats this season.
Have you seen any video of him at the workouts? Mm-hmm. He's actually a smooth, like, he's a fourth-round draft pick. Mm-hmm. Like, he's a good baseball player. Mm-hmm. He's smooth with it. I could, like, just watching him, mm-hmm. I could see him as a second baseman in the major leagues, you know what I mean?
Because I remember when he was in college, they were saying he was a pretty good player. When he was with the Rockies, I believe. Mm-hmm. I say, yeah, he's a pretty good second baseman. He don't hit that well, but, mm-hmm. I mean, he's pretty good in the field, so.
My stance has kind of changed on it a little bit in mm-hmm. that, like, I don't think he should be out here doing the fantasy camp shit like mm-hmm. he's doing, right? Mm-hmm. But if he decided, look, I've won a championship in football. Mm-hmm. I had a good run. Like, it's cool. I don't feel like being out here getting hurt, getting hit by mm-hmm. big motherfuckers. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go pursue this baseball shit. Like, I would fuck with that. You know what I mean?
I would fuck with that.
But, you know, you can't be half-stepping with it. You know what I mean? You can't just be out there, like, for shits and giggles. I don't think.
But, see, I don't really think he half-stepping it, because I don't think he really is trying to go out there and make a team right now. Mm-hmm. He got drafted. Hey, they drafted me. You know what I mean? Fuck it. You know, like you said, I've been wanting to play Major League Baseball I've been playing baseball since I was four. This is one of my dreams. So maybe he's just going out there for the experience, which I don't have a problem with, because he is actually a good baseball player. It wasn't like the Michael Jordan shit.
Right.
You know what I mean? He's actually a good baseball player. He going out there, he taking ground balls and shit. I mean, because like you said, what if next year he say, you know what? Fuck it. I'm going to go play baseball. So, you know, he just getting it, you know, the feel of this shit, you know what I mean? Maybe he going out there see, you know, do I really love this shit like I think I do? Mm. Or do I just, that's just something I feel and I really don't love it. And I need to keep playing baseball, football.
Right.
You know what I mean? So, I mean, I like Russell Wilson, homie.
I do too.
So, I mean, whatever he do, homie, nigga, I back that nigga up on it. But
Future Deuce is ill with it.
Yeah, Future Deuce, yeah, nigga. But like you said, nigga, when it comes to football, man, I'll choose baseball or football any day.
I would too, man. It just always goes back to longevity, you know mm-hmm. what I mean? And then also, like, getting hit. Like, motherfuckers sleep on, like, the getting hit aspect of it. Like, fuck you. Like, I don't feel like getting hit. Fucking computer decides to slow up. But going back to what I was talking mm-hmm. about with greatest video game athletes of all time, if for niggas who listen and who are young and never had the experience of playing Tecmo Bowl, Bo Jackson was literally the most unstoppable character ever on a video game.
Can't stop him.
I mean, motherfuckers, like, he being like in the pile getting tackled, and he mm-hmm. just like break free. Mm-hmm. Motherfuckers just break all the tackles mm-hmm. super fast.
Mm-hmm. But so you got, okay, let's go into depth about that, homie.
Okay.
See, I'm going to break this down for y'all. On the first Tecmo Bowl, you can't call blitzes.
Right.
Unless, or the game will blitz automatically if you pick the same player, whatever, as the fucking offense, whatever. So you can kind of cheat, look like what they picking. Mm-hmm. Boom. So if you guess what they're picking, they'll blitz in. So if you did that against the Raiders, this nigga will still break out. All the other players will be tackled. Right. He was the only player who can break through that shit, and you got a touchdown. I was like, damn, this nigga is ill. Yeah. I never seen no player like that on video games since then.
Honorable mention, Mike Vick in Madden 2004 when he had like 99 speed.
Okay, yeah, that was cheap.
Marshall Faulk in Madden 03. Because I used to run with that nigga. I used to run with him.
Yeah, that was cheating.
Because you could use him. He would catch passes and, like, mm-hmm. burn niggas and shit. Because that was before mm-hmm. they really put the shit in to make the defense better.
Right.
And, you just hit, move Marshall in the slot and shit. Mm-hmm. And, here go Russell Wilson working out. Video kind of funky, but he's smooth with it, though, homie.
Okay.
So, yeah, man, but I feel what you're saying, though.
Yeah, let that nigga be. If you gonna just go fuck around, because, I mean, he's good, though. So, I mean, hey, you never know. Like you said, you never know. Or never say never.
Mm-hmm. Actually, our next crazy story comes from a crazy-ass story Hall of Famer, Andrew Bynum. This nigga stays. So, this dude decided, this nigga's crazy. And last week, Andrew Bynum apparently got his haircut during halftime of a Pacers game. And he tweeted out a picture of it. Or maybe his barber tweeted it out or put it on Instagram or whatever. It says, Andrew Bynum's hair has gotten plenty of attention in the past, and he continues to surprise everyone with his crazy antics. The Indiana Pacers tweeted on Friday that Bynum would be out indefinitely with a knee injury. Seeing as how he wasn't playing in the game, it appears the center decided to get his haircut during halftime of Friday night's Chicago Bulls-Indiana Pacers game. His barber posted a couple pics on Instagram with captions indicating that he gave Bynum a haircut during halftime. You can't make this stuff up. So, and then, if you look for this, there's a picture of this nigga too, just looking real.
Who was that, Drake? Did that Drake cut this nigga's hair?
I don't know who it is. Some Puerto Rican cat.
You know what, man? This is just so crazy, homie. This shit just shows what's wrong with today's society.
How do you mean?
Because who in their right mind will call their barber up and schedule a haircut while he at work?
Right.
Can you imagine that, homie?
No.
Hey, man, look, check this out, man. Come on my lunch break, homie. Cut my shit. I'm going to be at Whoop. No!
Right.
I mean, I really don't have a reaction to this shit. I don't even know what to say about this
but
shit.
But that's what I'm saying. You said who in their right mind? Andrew Bynum in his right mind.
Yeah. I want to know how is this nigga raised, though, homie?
Like Bomani Jones say, insufficient daddy, you know? Yeah.
In order for you to think this is alright, homie, you must have been able just to do whatever the fuck you wanted to growing up, homie.
Like, can you imagine you doing some shit like that?
Hell no. I wouldn't even cross my mind. Take care of your business, homie. Do that shit after the game.
And the thing is, as an NBA player, you have a gang of free time during your day. You know what I mean? Like, you have shoot around and practice and all that. You have to be at the arena at a certain time. But it ain't like, nigga, you work a 9-to-5 and shit where you know, you can't get to the barbershop. And you got the money to where your barber comes to you.
Yeah, come to your pad.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
this nigga's an idiot, homie. I see why teams don't want to fuck with him.
Mm-hmm.
Unbelievable.
And the craziest thing about it is, he was so pressed to be ignorant, he fucked himself out of millions of dollars. Cause like, you're 7 foot tall, big dude. Mm-hmm. You could play in the NBA for 20 years, making $5 to $10 million a year for your entire career, being sorry too.
Yeah.
You ain't even gotta be good,
yeah.
But you're 7 feet tall, but you decide you just wanna act ignorant so bad.
What the fuck you wanna do?
Like, yeah. So teams ain't gonna fuck with you.
Idiot, homie. So hope they cut that nigga.
Oh shit! All right, man.
I think it was getting a haircut at halftime, homie.
That's like the thing about halftime is it's not even really like a break. You in there making adjustments and shit, talking and shit.
Yeah.
I mean, I know he wasn't in the game, but it's like them other niggas have to look around and be like, "What's up?"
Time out, homie. Where did this nigga get his haircut at, though?
Who?
Andrew Bynum.
In the locker room somewhere.
But I'm saying, so nigga, did nobody see this
shit? That's what I'm saying. Like, Paul George and Hibbert must have been like, they hear the Clippers buzzing.
Coach is talking, hey, yeah, we're gonna do this. Woo, 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 woo.
Yeah.
Like, hold up. The fuck? Is this nigga getting his haircut? Oh, I'm like, I'm gonna get the fuck up on my locker room, homie.
Can you imagine as a coach, you walk around, see your player getting a haircut at halftime?
Oh, dude, you're cut, homie. You wanna get a cut? You're cut. The fuck up out your cut now, nigga. That shit is crazy, homie. Hey, I just thought about that. Like, where is this nigga getting his hair cut at?
The coach was on the whiteboard.
Right, making the nose and shit.
Just heard the butt.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Oh. Hold on. What the fuck, nigga? Peep his head around the corner and shit.
Nigga, you getting your...
Oh, this hell nigga nah.
Motherfucking haircut.
Escort this nigga out of the gym right now, homie. Dr. Rita. Get your ass up out of here.
Shit,
both of you clown ass niggas.
That shit, I don't know why that shit got me. That shit's funny, homie.
But you know what's crazy, homie? It's like, nigga, okay, as a barber, okay, let's just say I'm your barber and you call me up. I'm like, hey, nigga, come down to the arena. Like, man, you just don't want to wait, you know what I mean?
Right.
You don't want to wait, you know what I mean? It's after the game, or we can do it tomorrow morning or something.
Mm-hmm.
What was so important that you had to get the game? Like, we had a job interview. What was so important you had to get your hair cut at that time?
Yo, this nigga had to get his barber like an arena pass.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yo, it's layers to this story.
Yeah.
We didn't even think
about. Right. Yeah, get this nigga in
all
here.
All the trouble to get his barber in the arena, in the locker room, because you can't just have anybody up in the locker room. So he had to get his barber like a special arena pass to go all up in the tunnels and shit. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, he walked around with his little barber's little case. Nigga doing. Hey, maybe let me search
a little.
Nigga, fuck, you got clippers for? What you
doing here? So I'm here to cut Andrew Bynum's hair. Like right now?
Yeah, now, nigga. Like,
the game.
Yeah, these niggas is playing. What the fuck you mean? This shit is crazy, bro. This shit is crazy. Like you said, it's multiple layers to this shit. These niggas don't think about. Like, nigga, he called the nigga. Hey, nigga, so look, man, I need my hair cut tomorrow. Nigga, come down to the arena, nigga, at halftime, okay? Watch the first quarter. Like, first quarter, leave, nigga. By that time, you'll be ready to cut. This nigga crazy, you know what I mean? Fucking idiot.
This nigga got his hair cut at halftime.
At halftime, nigga.
Oh, I don't know why that shit.
This is so ridiculous, homie. It is so ridiculous, homie. It don't make no fucking sense, dumbass nigga.
Alright, man. Our next one is a basketball story. It's keeping with basketball, but high school basketball.
Excuse me.
This one is Tyquan Greer. It becomes a hero for Chicago's Orr High School. He hit the biggest shot of the season Tuesday night.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me, for Orr Academy School of Chicago. It was also the most improbable. Less than 2 weeks after he was shot in the leg while attending a neighborhood get together. Translation: he was at a house party, and then somebody came through and shot it up, and he caught a bullet.
Man,
it's crazy though. He came off the bench and hit the game winning shot though.
For real?
Yeah, he came off the bench and hit a wide open 3-pointer with 3 seconds remaining to give Orr a 71-68 triumph against North Chicago and the Class 3A Hoffman Estates Super Sectional. Unbelievable. Don't tell that to Greer. This could have been our last game, and I wanted to make my presence felt. The 6'7" senior standout told reporters. Yeah, so he must be going to the next level. Yeah. He that big. For me to take that shot, God planned it for me because he has some better stuff for me. I knew I was going to make it. I was very confident. My leg was still kind of shaky, but it could have been our last game, so I wanted to be out there. If we lost, I wanted to make sure that I was on the court with my team. That's all that really mattered. Greer was one of 6 people shot in the early morning hours. It's okay, Chicago,
see,
too.
See. There you go.
What?
There you go, homie. Once again, niggas be fucking up.
How do you mean?
Okay, homie. First of all, you're a big time basketball player out there.
Okay.
Okay. Why are you at a house party in the wee hours of the morning, homie?
That's very true.
Especially in a city like Chicago, where you know all kind of shit be cracking. Mm-hmm. Stay your ass at the motherfucking house. Where's your parents at, homie?
Insufficient daddy, and again.
Yeah.
Yeah. That is true.
So, you know, I mean, it's a good story. You got shot, homie. It's fucked up. You can't. But, nigga, you shouldn't have been put yourself in that situation, homie. Don't want me feeling sorry for your ass, nigga.
I was laughing at the article when I read it at work because they called it a neighborhood get together.
Like, man, I was a function, man.
Yeah. But, I mean, that's good for that young man. He came off the bench and.
So, he didn't play the whole game?
He played sparingly. Mm. He could barely walk. He's out there hobbling around. And in the last minutes of the game, he was out there, and he managed to hit a wide-open 3.
Man, good for him. Nigga, stop hanging out, homeboy.
Yeah, for real. Ain't nothing good going to come off hanging out around a bunch of ignorant niggas.
Thug-ass niggas going to shoot at the party because they couldn't get in.
And I say that knowing damn well we used to be out at some functions.
Yeah, but nigga, who would have full-ride scholarships to fucking UCLA or something like that?
That's true, too.
I shouldn't say it shouldn't make a difference, but still though, nigga. Mm. I mean, you got more to lose, nigga.
Mm.
So fuck, nigga. I'm staying at the pad, pay me some Madden.
Right.
Get my balls licked, whatever, nigga. But yeah, I ain't about to be hanging out, nigga, at a party. I mean, cause you know what? Remember how we used to say, nigga, I'll go to Padre games and white bars.
Yeah.
You know, nigga, certain spots to where you know, like, wait a minute.
Mm.
Like, nigga, you gonna where? Who gonna be here? Oh, it's gonna be some niggas from woo woo woo. Oh, okay, I'll catch you on the rebound, homie. Mm-hmm. Cause you know something might crack.
Oh no, I feel you, but like we came to that conclusion in our 20s. Off
school.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Off some experience. Like we've been to enough places and enough different spots where enough dumb shit had popped off to her. Mm-hmm. We was like, you know what? It ain't even worth it in the name of fun. That's the other thing. Like, all for some fun. Like, I'm going to go someplace where it's a chance it could get shot up. All for some fun and hollering mm-hmm. at some females. Like, mm-hmm. it ain't worth it. You know what I mean? I'm mm-hmm. cool. Like you say, Padre games and white bars. Yep. I want to go somewhere where I can chill, have a brew, don't have to be, you know, don't have to be stressful or worried about, oh, so-and-so here from this set. Right. And then that group over there, they from the other set. And, you know what I'm saying? Now I'm going to have to, you know, do the army man belly crawl back to my car, dodging bullets and shit. Like,
I got a story.
Go ahead.
I got a story about that same exact shit. We was probably about, because Carter wasn't even locked up yet. So
it was before 2004 then.
Yeah, so I was about 20.
Okay.
Something like that, 21. And make a long story short, we went to this, I don't know if y'all remember, it's a rapper called Benzino. He had a concert at a club out here. Mm-hmm. But it was out in it was in Kearney Mason. So it was away from the hood.
What club?
No, it's not even a club no more. I forgot the name. It was like a fucking furniture store now.
Homie. Oh, okay.
And everybody's like that motherfucker. So it was me, Carly, and a couple other cats. I can't remember who it was. But my older brother and the kid was there. Mm-hmm. So as soon as we pull up, I see Dwight about to leave and shit. And Dwight was like, hey, y'all niggas come here talking to me and Carly. Because mm-hmm. he didn't know the other niggas was away. He just called up. Mm-hmm. He said, look, check this out, homie. He said, I'm about to leave this motherfucker. He said, I'm telling y'all niggas right now, y'all get the fuck up out of here, homie. Because mm-hmm. We look around. We was like, what? He said, nigga, it's niggas from every single gang in San Diego up in this motherfucker.
Right.
He said, I'm your older brother, homie. I can't make you do what you want to do, nigga. But I'm leaving, nigga. I suggest you leave. Mm-hmm. Me and Carl, like, nigga, get the fuck out of here, nigga. You know what I mean?
When you yell, you get real ignorant.
Would have ended up happening that
night. Got shot up.
We got jumped.
See, oh, goddamn.
We got jumped.
For real?
Yeah.
See?
We got jumped, homie, you know what I mean, all over some bullshit, you know what I mean? And I remember that, homie, I was like, damn, nigga.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. I feel you, homie. And that's the thing about San Diego. I always try to explain this dynamic to people, right?
Mm-hmm.
San Diego is a big city, but it's like, what, 5-6% black, something like that, right? So when there's a function like that going mm-hmm. on, all the black people in San Diego go. And that's mm-hmm. what's crazy about when you go to black spots in San Diego, you'll get the old black people, mm-hmm. you'll get the middle-aged black people, mm-hmm. you'll get the young black people, you'll get the black people from this set, mm-hmm. that set, and that mm-hmm. set all converge mm-hmm. in one place.
And something's going to happen.
Right. It's going to pop off. Because there ain't but so many black people here, mm-hmm. and then they all end up at the same functions.
Yeah.
So, and that's the thing, like, you go to a spot like that, some shit that, that's why I don't really go to too many rap concerts out here. Because it's like, so, you know, oh, E-40 coming, now you going, oh, Snoop coming, you going, like, nigga, every nigga from the coast, nigga from Lincoln, from O'Farrell, from Skyline, they all going to be there. And then something's going to happen, you know what I mean? It's like, all, and so like you say, like you was going, y'all was going there just in the name of some fun, and end up getting jumped.
Yeah.
That ain't fun.
It's not, nigga. Nigga waking up all fucked up, jaw hurting and shit. Like, damn, nigga, what happened last night?
Yeah, man. But like young niggas gotta learn. Hopefully that nigga getting shot in his calf is a wake up call. You know what I mean? Like, nigga, you know, don't be out here.
Mm-hmm. Real shit.
And then you got future. You got hope.
Right. Yeah. Don't fuck it off.
So, yeah, man, that's crazy. I didn't even know about that. I don't remember.
Yeah, homie. Yup.
Y'all niggas should have left.
Yeah, I know. Niggas should have left, homie. Yep.
Oh, man. All right, man. Our next crazy story. This is one I just found during the course of recording the show, but this is pretty good. Did you hear about this? Some of the Arizona Diamondbacks had to walk to the game on Saturday. You know how they're down in Australia?
What?
Yeah, so they're down in Australia for the... Because the season just officially opened in Australia between them and the Dodgers, right? Some Arizona Diamondbacks players had to walk the last half mile to Sydney Cricket Ground on Saturday when one of the team buses had a flat tire on the way to their season opener. A Diamondbacks spokesman said a handful of players and some staff decided to walk the rest of the way to the stadium instead of waiting for a replacement bus to arrive. He said most of the players had already arrived on another bus about 5 hours ahead of the scheduled start time of the game. So this is funny to me. These niggas bailing.
Yeah. They got gear and shit. And, well, how far did they have to walk, though?
It says a half mile.
I bet it's not too bad. That ain't too bad. But still, though, nigga, I bet you was hot out there and shit.
Mm-hmm.
Man, that's all I see why them niggas lost.
Fuck that. If I'm a pro baseball player, I ain't walking nowhere.
Hell no, you better call a taxi or something.
I ain't carrying my bags. Yeah. And then, and I'm getting my hair cut in the 7-minute stretch.
Oh, that's some good shit, homie. That's some good shit, homie.
Take me out to the... in the dugout, too.
Man, that's bad, homie.
But Black will be looking at me like, nigga, what the fuck?
Are you getting your hair cut?
Oh, man. Speaking of the Diamondbacks, man, I came across this one. They about to sell a $25 corn dog at the stadium. Yeah, you know what I mean?
Oh, my God.
Let's see. Here it is right here, the picture of it. It's an 18-inch corn dog stuffed with cheese, jalapenos, and bacon, served with a side of fries, and it costs $25.
You got to be a greedy motherfucker to pay that much for it. Please.
For some french fries and a corn dog.
Right. Somebody going to buy it, too.
I think a lot of people are, just off being greedy.
Yeah, and just to say, oh, yeah, I bought that, nigga. Yeah, you a dummy.
And they also, it says they're going to also offer a $10 hot dog as well. But I guess that's not an uncommon thing. The Rangers also have a $25 hot dog at their stadium, too.
What?
Who's going to stadiums paying $25 for a hot dog, though?
Apparently somebody is. Just to say they did it, though.
Yeah.
That's all it is, just to say that they did it.
I'm cool, man.
Yeah, I'm cool with that nigga. I'll be going to Padre games looking for bargains, nigga. How much is that? Nah, fuck, I'm going to eat before I can. Fuck y'all.
And we be smuggling our booze in there.
Remember that one time the bitch caught us in the stairway? She just looked at the sugar head, kept it moving. I thought she was going to call the security on us and everything. We was in there pouring up, nigga.
When did we bring in? Who was with us?
It was me, you, and JB.
That's all it was?
Mm-hmm. You know, JB don't drink.
Right. So you had like the bottle like in your pocket or something, yeah. Right? Mm-hmm. It was pouring in the stairway.
Yeah.
She looked, she's like.
And she worked for the Padres too.
Yeah, she was a Padres employee. Mm-hmm. She saw us. She just shook her head.
Kept moving. I was like, damn, it was a white girl too. I was like, damn, she going to call somebody on us. I was nervous. Oh, we just poured up and got our drink on.
She just shook her head. Niggas.
Yeah, I got that from Uncle Larry, though.
What, bringing the bottle in? Yeah. Because
he's like, nigga, put this Hennessy in your pocket, nigga. We're going to get fucked up in the skybox. I'm like, all right, nigga, fuck it, nigga. Because, you know, they don't pat you down at the...
Exactly.
At the fucking stadium. I mean, they just, if you got a bag or something, they look in there. You know what I mean?
Right.
Other than that, nigga, just
if you put it in your pocket, you can bring it in.
Yeah,
bring That's it why in. I understand these young niggas rocking skinny jeans, nigga. You can't carry no alcohol in your skinny jeans.
I got a story, homie. I got another story, homie.
What happened?
You know, Derek homeboy, Nick.
Uh-huh.
And he used to work at Rouse and shit.
Uh-huh.
And, we was in high school and shit. And I guess the manager was the only person who used to watch the cameras.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, remember Derek used to live like right around the corner from the Rouse right there, a woman?
Right.
So, you know, and he'll call us up. Hey, look, homie. Manager about to go on break, and I just come in here and get these niggas for these bottles.
Mm-hmm.
So we used to go like five people up in here, nigga. I'm stuffing bottles in my front pockets, back pockets. I got a hoodie on, and we'll take about 20 bottles and walk right out that motherfucker. We used to do this shit all the time, homie. Mm-hmm. Just have major drink, nigga, get faded, nigga, nigga for no money.
No, on some free.
On some free shit.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? But nigga, I don't know why I thought about that, but
because niggas today couldn't do it because niggas in high school right now
wear skinny jeans. Yeah. And you gonna get caught. Nigga, what's that in your pocket?
Right. See the outline of a Hennessy bottle in your pocket.
Mm-hmm. But you know, fucker, I think about that shit back in the day. We used to look suspicious though. We used to go in there hella thick.
Mm-hmm.
Niggas used to be high and shit. We go in there and then we just taking a gang of bottles and walk right out. We go straight to the alcohol section.
Yeah.
No, nigga, we don't look nowhere damn near 21.
Right.
Ain't nobody in the nigga that gonna say nothing?
Because it wasn't their shit.
Y'all remember that shit would be crazy. Y'all think about the shit niggas used to do? I'm like, man, nigga, my kids did that shit, they draw straight to
it. Oh, yeah, man. Oh, man, it's like, on the real, when I think about it, it's like, I just hope my son don't get arrested or caught up in shit. I know he gonna do some dumb shit.
Yeah, he gonna do some dumb shit.
I just prefer I don't find out about it because I'm liable to kill the nigga.
Yeah.
So I'm like, nigga, you did what?
Right.
Do that old man choke, nigga. You know, or that old man him up where you grab him around the shirt collar, nigga.
Pops did that to me back in the day a couple times.
Or hit him with that baby boy headlock. Remember when? You know what's funny about that scene? He was talking cold shit to Ving Rhames. He's like, he's tall. I remember what he said.
Yeah, yeah.
That's why you a bitch. Da, da, da. Yeah, yeah. He thought he left the room. Came up behind him.
Did that nigga lick his head too? Hey, if you guys never seen the movie Baby Boy, you gotta watch it. That movie is funny from beginning to end. Cause it's on some real nigga type shit, homie. You gonna laugh, homie.
That Bing Rain's headlock. That shit always make me laugh.
Nigga punched a hole in the closet door. These young niggas always fucking with me.
Like, trying to be a good nigga.
Trying to be a good nigga. Oh, man. That's funny, homie.
Alright, let's see.
When a nigga Snoop kicked over his son's little fort. Nigga, fuck your fort. Yeah. That shit was funny. Little man was looking all sad.
And that was foul as fuck.
Oh, man.
Fuck your fort.
Fuck your fort. Kick over all the pillows and shit. Little man was looking sad. Like, oh, that's fucked up. That's a funny ass movie, nigga.
Snoop and a wife beater and it's all baggy and shit.
That nigga looked about 20 pounds, nigga.
I was like, blood, why don't y'all give Snoop a sandwich or some shit before you start shooting the scene?
Nah, they could enhance that nigga's body, homie.
Do some CGI or some shit.
Yeah, make that nigga a little bit swoller or something. Man.
Alright, man. This next one, this comes, JB sent me this, this morning. I remember last week we was talking about animals and shit, getting loose after a while. Mm-hmm. We talked about going to the circus and elephants and shit. What's up? So he sent me this article, elephants escape from circus, damaged cars in Missouri.
Yeah. What did I tell you, bro?
Yeah, that was like, JB said it this morning, said in reference to what y'all was talking about on the podcast. I was like, yeah, we about to talk about this. He says, the article says, several elephants escaped from a circus.
Several?
He's like, more than one. Yeah.
They probably get some extra. Yeah, we dipping on these niggas today.
They're like, hey, nigga. I feel like all animals talk like niggas. Because they activity. Yeah. It's like, hey, nigga, today ain't the day. Today is the day we get our shit back.
Tired of these niggas beating me.
Several elephants escaped from a circus in Missouri on Saturday, damaging vehicles in a parking lot before they were corralled and returned to their quarters. The elephants from the Moolah Shrine Circus escaped Saturday afternoon at the Family Arena in St. Charles. The station showed images of several trucks with damage to their sides from the elephants. There were no injuries. The St. Louis Post-Dispatch reported that three animals escaped about 5 p.m. during a performance and went out the back of the arena to a lot where circus and Shriners employees' cars were parked. Oh, they fucked up the employees' cars?
Yeah, I'm gonna get y'all niggas. Hope you got insurance, nigga.
I was like, if this nigga hit me with a whip one more goddamn time,
I'm fucking his car up. I mean, stop it on that bitch.
They were eventually taken back to their compound. The elephants didn't take part. In Saturday night's performance, the newspaper said, but were expected to perform Sunday. Just put them right back in it, huh?
Our niggas are still working, you know that, right?
The Post-Dispatch said the show is run by the Royal Hanford Circus. Let's see, elephant, and that's it. Yeah, man, that's why, don't take your kids to the circus, man.
I told you, homie, that's the exact reason why I don't take my kids to that shit.
Yeah, man. Them elephants decide that, you know, today's the day for do some Amistad shit. You know what I mean?
Can't stop them.
Give us free.
Oh, shit. That shit's crazy, man. Yeah, you just got to be careful after them little circus and shit, man. Because, I mean, them fucking elephants is deadly, homie.
Yeah, like, you can't stop it. If an elephant decides to, like, be mad and start going, you can't stop an elephant.
Yeah, you're getting fucked up.
So, ain't nothing you can do. This last story, I saved it for last because it's so good. This is the one you sent me about. I'm gonna read the headline and then I'm gonna play the video. We're gonna let the video play.
See, I watch the video.
You don't watch the video? The video is funny to me because the only person who's speaking with some common sense on the news team is the black woman.
Okay.
So, hold on, let me get it queued up and we'll play it. But let me read the headline first. It says, excuse me, and I don't know how old this is because the article is dated May 2013 and updated June 2014. 13. So it may be an older article. I don't know. But the comments on it are as recent as, you know, today and yesterday. So, but either way, it's funny. And we're going to talk about it. Teen gives up college free ride to pursue rap career. Yeah, you heard me right, niggas. Teen gives up college free ride to pursue rap career. Let's see what they talk about. If it wants to play.
708. Okay, so we first told you about this story yesterday here on Good Day, talking about a high school senior who gives up his free ride to college to pursue a rap career. So now we get to hear from the young man himself.
Karen, we need an update on this family story.
Well, he's talking, so he's explaining his side on this one, but basically he gives up a shot to go to college and to play, you know, sports at that level. High school senior from our area, and he says, my dad supports me, and he says he's going to work on getting signed to a record deal. He wants to be a rapper. He's like, oh, I can always go to college later. Jay Harris is one of the top high school football prospects.
You got to chase your dreams. You got to do what you really want. If I go up there to MSU, the Division I program, and go up there and my whole heart's not in it, I'm going to just be wasting their time. You know, this is really what I want to do for my life.
So his name is Jay Harris, and he's from our area. He's one of the top high school football prospects in Pennsylvania. I think he was like the number two top choice for a wide receiver. So many schools were trying to recruit him. He got a scholarship to play football at Michigan State for next year. Then in this really surprising move, he put out these videos. You can see him. You know, he's whatever, partaking in whatever he is and saying questionable lyrics. So, you know, the school saw that, and they both decided mutually, is the word they used, that he wasn't going to do it. And his rap name is Jay Dat Bull, and he says his mixtape's going to come out on June 1st. Spokesperson for Michigan State says the decision to revoke his scholarship was mutual. I never heard of that happening before. But, you know, I have to imagine his parents. Well, his dad says, you know, supports him. See, here's the thing. His dad supports him?
Yes, yes.
I'm all for, you know, living your dream. And I remember people told me I couldn't be on the news. My cheeks were too chubby. I was too short. All this good stuff. So I'm not saying that if somebody tells you you can't do something, you know, you can't. But he had a full ride to college. And he was, what, the second best in the state? Mm-hmm. Can't you rap and go to college?
Yes, you can.
You have to pay for school. Man. And then you can rap. And then you are a football star who raps. And then maybe you can get more exposure. Right. I mean, I mean, education's so important. To miss out on an education, let alone playing sports and being a star there at a huge school like Michigan. So, maybe he didn't want to play football.
When he accepts that Grammy, I want apologies
from
all of you.
That's true.
Man, shut up, wipe your ass up. Niggas like that don't get Grammys. Okay. Okay. There's a few things I want to speak on about this. First, I'm agree with what Baby said. She said, you know, I'm all about motherfucking, but basically, homie, I'm the type of motherfucker, if it's something you want to do, homie, go ahead and do it.
Yep.
That's your prerogative, that's your decision. It don't mean it makes you smart.
Right.
Okay. So I'm going to say that. I'm done with that. Second of all, let's look at it from what happened with Michigan State, though. They said it was a mutual agreement because they caught wind of this shit.
Mm-hmm.
So they might not have walked what they seen. But, hey, homie, check this out. He might have said, hey, I want to do both. They said, well, nigga, check this out. If you come here, you ain't going to be doing this type of shit because we don't want that type of shit in our program. You know what I'm saying? That's another thing that may have happened. He said, well, fuck it. I'm going to rap then.
Okay.
Which is still dumb.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So, third, I mean, I don't see how his dad can support this shit.
That's the point.
It just baffles me. Because, like, he was saying, well, if I'm not, my heart ain't in it, it's not fair. This shit, it's a bad move all around.
That's the part where they lost me when I watched the video and they said his dad's supportive and this and that. Like, you know, I'm a father, so I put myself in them situations, right? Let's say RJ, you know, 10 years from now is getting a scholarship to play a sport somewhere. And he's like, Dad, I don't know if I want to play football. I want to rap. I would hit him with that Bill Cosby. That's the dumbest shit I ever heard. No wonder you get D's in everything.
Right.
Because it's like, homie, like, I'm not even saying you got to pursue football. If your heart's not in football, don't play football, right? Mm. Yeah, ain't no reason to go tackle motherfuckers or get tackled for free. But, nigga, neither a football career nor a rap career is guaranteed. So, you right now, you put yourself in a position where you have the opportunity to get a free education. Take advantage of that to the best of your ability. Go study business, study music production, whatever. Like, do something. But to say, fuck this scholarship so I can make music videos. Did you see the video where he's smoking weed with the homies in the car?
See, that's probably what it was. They probably
said, oh, I should have turned the computer. See, while I was
in the Michigan State probably seen him smoking weed shit. Like, homie, you going to cut
the
shit out,
he was putting out videos of him rapping with the homies on the street, him in the car smoking blunts with the... That's what it was. It's not the rapping that Michigan State had a problem with.
It's the type of shit he's doing in his video.
Rapping about dumb shit. Like, I get bitches, I smoke niggas.
Hold
on, let me back it up a little bit.
No, this is all on his parents, homie. Point blank.
Insufficient daddy, homie. This is where... Oh, you ain't got your glasses, so you can't
see. I can see it for the most part. I just got squint and shit.
But yeah, man, like... like, as a father...
Wait a minute. He got a gang of white boys in the bag. Where the fuck he from?
Somewhere in Michigan.
I think it's in Philly, I think.
See, right here. They in the car smoking blunts and shit.
He's not. Okay, hold on. See, I thought this was all some nigga shit, though.
Mm-hmm.
He ain't even on no nigga shit because he got a gang of white boys in the back.
He's still talking about ignorant shit.
But what I'm saying is, what I'm saying is, the type of environment that niggas come from when they talking about shit like that, they coming from the motherfucking hood.
Well, keep in mind, I don't know exactly where. Or actually,
this is Philadelphia.
This is Philadelphia.
Yeah.
I don't know exactly where he's from, but it be white boys in some of the fucked up hoods back east, too.
But not like a gang of them like that.
Shit. Yeah, dude.
Shit, I got my mom's dad is from Philly, homie.
What part of Philly?
You know what I mean? The hood? And he said, there's nothing but, God rest his soul, but it's nothing but niggas out there.
Okay, but what I'm saying is he could be from a neighborhood where it's fucked up neighborhood and it's white people and black people in that neighborhood.
But why we see like six white boys and like two niggas in
there? It's a gang of niggas.
Oh, okay. No, we getting off topic. That ain't got nothing to do with
it.
Because you know what's crazy, homies? I was talking to Drew about this because he from the Bay Area.
Mm-hmm.
And I know I read this shit, homie. You know the rapper Kick the Sneak?
Uh-huh.
Same type shit.
Had a football scholarship?
But see, that one say they didn't talk about say if he had a football scholarship or not, because he dropped his first album when he was 16. But they said he was a standout safety, you know what I'm saying, on his high school football team. They said he was hella good. Mm-hmm. So his dad was like, nigga, you have to choose, homie, but you can't be doing both of these motherfuckers. What you gonna do?
Mm-hmm.
He said, fuck it, I'll rap. And because you understand, Keep the Sneak is like an underground type motherfucker. I'm pretty sure he made some money out of this shit. But nigga, the obvious choice is, nigga, you gotta go play football and get your scholarship in, and that's a better opportunity, you know?
Right.
Yeah, he didn't fuck his own shit up.
Well, the thing here, here's a problem with leaving that choice. As a parent, I'm all about letting your child make certain decisions for themselves to a point.
Yeah.
But let's say he's a senior in high school, he's 17, maybe about to turn 18 at most. That motherfucker don't know what the fuck he doing. Like, he's... Like, at that age, you're young and ignorant. You know what I mean? You think you know everything. So you think becoming a rapper is the smarter or the better choice, right? Like, he might... And look, for the record, he could blow up and become, like, the next big thing or not. Most niggas who think they can rap and end up trying to be rappers be bobo and don't make nothing out of it, right? So... It's like you have to think of this like from an intellectual standpoint and not as an 18-year-old kid. Like, you don't let an 18-year-old kid make this kind of decision.
Right.
That's the thing. That's where you got to step in and say, no, nigga.
Yeah.
You're not doing this.
You're not doing this, homie. And you know what? That's the crazy part, because I know for a fact that it's just going to be 10, 15 years down the line, he ain't going to be looking back at the shit like, damn, I fucked up, homie.
This nigga said, I'm gonna be a rapper instead of go play football at Michigan State. And it ain't even like it was a Bobo program.
This
That's
is
the
top
thing.
Program. They just won or came off and went off the fucking Rose Bowl. You know what I'm saying, Robert? This is the type of shit.
This white niggas can't have
Robert, do you remember me and you had this discussion about there's different type black people? I said, dude, it's niggas, they're brothers and all that shit. This is the type of shit I'm talking about, though. This is why I said this, homie. Because this is on some real nigga type shit. You can't even defend this. You cannot defend this. If anybody
can talking about defend him or defend it. Like, my main issue is with
both
the dad.
Yeah, I'm saying this both of them, though.
Mm.
Because, I mean, well, you know, the main issue got to be with the dad, because if the dad was doing his job since day one, this wouldn't even be an issue.
Right. You think it wouldn't even be like,
you wouldn't be rapping, smoking weed in the car with your homeboys, talking about some ignorant shit. Mm. I know for a fact, my motherfucking dad would, matter of fact, I'm going to tell another story. You know, I got my little younger relatives, you know, Mike and all them. Mm. I remember back in the day, huh, these niggas were like 14, 15, they was rapping and shit. Mm. You know what I mean? So, you know, we used to go to church and shit. You know, you came to church, you know, a handful of times. And I remember their mom found the little tape in the room, huh? And she basically like, what the fuck is this shit? You right. Know, she listened to it like, oh, hell no. Nah. She was hot, homie. Mm. Told, you know, their grandfather was the pastor of the church. Oh, nigga, them niggas got in trouble, homie. Mm. You know what I mean? They put an end to the shit.
Did that shit in the buzz.
This nigga was enabling me. You know what I mean? Mm. Oh, hey, nigga, you can talk about all that shit, you ignorant motherfucker. And he ain't gonna become nothing. I mean, he ain't gonna be no big time rap star.
Yeah.
I can almost guarantee it.
His rap name is J Dat Bull.
Yeah, that's what I heard. His rap name was J. That's dumb than itself. Cause you know what? I ain't gonna lie, nigga. Sometimes, nigga, I'll look at a motherfucking name. Oh, man, he got a whack ass name. I ain't gonna fuck him. Shit's crazy, you know what I mean?
He gonna make us all, seem ignorant for criticizing him. He gonna blow up. He gonna win a Grammy.
I'm still gonna be talking shit.
But yeah, like old girl said, man, like, just cause you go to college don't mean you can't pursue the rap shit.
Yeah.
It's not, well, put it like this.
He wasn't gonna be able to act like that though.
That's the thing. You can't be putting videos of yourself smoking blunts in the car. Yeah. And then think you're gonna go pursue like some college shit. Right. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I ain't fucking with that.
It's like you can still rap, like you can still make your music and all that and put your mixtapes out, right? You can still do all that shit and play football and get a education, you know what I mean? And go to class or whatever, right? You know what I mean? Or, you know what I mean? Even like I say, if football ain't in your heart or whatever like that, that's fine. You know what I'm saying?
It's not this situation.
Why?
You better take that full Ferrari scholarship.
So, okay, let's say, this is interesting. This is kind of separate from the shit we talking about. Let's say, like, one of your sons was, like, play football in high school, was pretty good at it, just, like, natural ability, just good. But it's like, fuck, I don't really love this shit. Mm-hmm. I want to go pursue something else. Let's say, let's not say it was rapping, but it was, like, my heart is in... I don't know, whatever. Like,
it depends on what it is, though.
Is that saying he was like, I want to go to the military instead of play football?
Nope.
Or I want to go be a Walmart greeter because I want to go work at Walmart because that's just my passion.
Okay, you know what? And me as a father, homie, I would have to, you know what? I wouldn't go and say, you know what, you ain't doing that. I would have to, you know, show my son, daughter, whatever the case may be, of why that would be a bad decision.
Okay.
And then say, you're not doing it. You know what I mean? It's not an option, but nigga, check this out. I'm going to explain to you why I'm not going to allow you to do this.
Okay.
Just so you just don't think I'm just trying to, you know what I'm saying, control your life. Because as a teenager, that's what you're going to think.
Yeah.
Like, I'm 40, whatever, at that point, 40-something years old. Mm-hmm. I've been through a lot. I know what the fuck I'm talking about.
Right.
I mean, you know what? Got another story. I remember when, I was about to join the military out of high school.
Uh-huh.
My mom was like, hey, let me go talk to the recruiter with you. And I was like, nah, because I know my mom, homie. I was like, nah, mom, you ain't going to me. I was like, basically, I was like, fuck that, you ain't going. Mm-hmm. I was like, okay, I asked you, I'm going now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, all right, fuck. I mean, so we go up in there. And my mom, I mean, you know what, mom? Man, my mom was ill. Now I think about it, homie. My mom used to just shut shit down. I remember I was a kid, I was like, man, I was like, man, mom's don't let me do shit. Now I'm older, I understand why.
Right.
So we went up in there, and dude was talking about all this shit. Oh, who? So my mom's just sitting there looking at him. Mm-hmm. She asking all kind of questions, homie. So, nigga, at the end, we was there for like an hour and a half. At the end of the fucking conversation, my mom was like, well, I appreciate you talking to me, but Dallas ain't joining the Marines.
That's what she said?
She told him straight up. Damn. She told him, you ain't joining the Marines. Mm-hmm. So I was sitting there like, damn, homie. So the dude looked at me. You know, I was already 18, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But we had just graduated high school, you know what I'm saying? And Miles was like, you ain't joining. Mm-hmm. Straight up. And I was like, all right, fuck it. Nigga, we ended up going to Iraq 2 years later, you know what I mean? So, I mean, I was thinking like, damn, nigga, I probably would have got smoked.
Oh, you would have been over there by that
time. Yeah, and I probably got smoked, though.
Because that was 99.
99. I mean, we were like 01, I think.
Oh, yeah, you would have been done with all your training and shit. Yeah, you would have been the first nigga over there.
Because remember, because, you know, your dad, you know what I mean, we was talking about being cops and shit. Mm-hmm. And so when I told homeboy that, he kind of, I feel he took advantage of him. He was like, okay, well, you know, I'm going to the Marines.
And that's what them recruiters
and do. And I was like, oh, yeah, that sounds good. My mom was like, nigga. You ain't going to a motherfucking Marines. You crazy.
Right.
You know what I mean? And now I think about it, I was like, damn, honey, my mom used to do all kind of shit. I used to think it was crazy. But now I was like, nigga, okay. My mom's was on her shit. Yeah.
That's a good parenting, man. Yeah. My mom's the same way. Like, it's funny because now being 32, I got a much better relationship with my mom than I did when I was 18. Right. Or especially even like 16, 17. Yeah. Because, you know, you're trying to do your own. You start feeling yourself. Yeah, you try to do your own shit. Yeah. And moms be like, nah, you ain't doing that. You're like, man, you just trying to fuck up my fun.
But you was crazy, though, Robert, at that time.
I know I was. I still am. That's
the thing. Black Robert is going to change, don't we?
Oh, I ain't getting no fucks. I still don't get no fucks.
So don't.
But, you know, like we say, though, insufficient daddy. You know?
Yeah, real shit, homie. Yeah.
That's the difference. That's the difference between niggas who have success, you know what I mean? And it ain't just about daddy. It's just about parenting. Parents who are willing to come in and be like, oh, no, you're not doing
that.
You're
not doing that. And you got to do it sometimes. You ain't there to be your child's best friend. Mm-hmm. You there to just make sure, nigga, they make it through that early stage of life without no bullshit, homie. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's real. It's like, yeah. And with this kid, like, when I watched the video and the first thing they said was his dad supports him, I was just like, yeah, he's destined for failure as a human being.
Yeah, nigga, JB, stop texting me. We still recording, nigga.
Oh, he just hit me up, too.
Talking about, y'all still recording?
What's up? What's he trying to do?
I ain't no telling, nigga.
But yeah, but I mean, we pretty much done for this week, though. We ended on some comedy with a nigga who gave up a scholarship to Michigan State to be a rapper.
To be a rapper, a whack rapper at that.
That's the thing. Yep. J. That Bull. Says his mixtape is coming in June.
I gotta listen to this nigga shit just to hear it. So next week I can clown this nigga. He better not be coming out sounding like Lil B, whatever that nigga name is.
Fuck Kevin Durant.
Oh shit,
that's pretty good. You know? Anything else you want to chop it about this week, man? I won't be chuckling off that for the rest of the day.
Not really. You know, I think we had another good podcast, you know.
Yeah, for sure, man. Most definitely.
Yeah, hey, this motherfucking Wichita State Kentucky game is coming down to the nitty gritty.
Yeah, with
okay.
This 2-point game.
42.6 left.
73-71.
Who is her? Who is baby? Because they keep showing her from Wichita State.
Somebody, mama. Mm-hmm. That's always funny when they be showing the mamas. Yeah. I don't know whose mama it is, though. They're about to lose, though. Kentucky at the line, too?
I think so.
Ooh.
Yeah, the ball.
Yeah. A lot of people thought...
And now Wichita State. Oh, they do that. Okay. They're at the line.
Pressure, though, homie.
Mm-hmm. Any single.
Yeah, man. I fuck with Kentucky because they just recruit all the one-and-done players. Mm-hmm. And be like, yeah, we going to get all the talent we can get. Yeah, and then we just going to figure it out. But yeah, man, that's all we got for this week, man. We're gonna wrap up the show as we watch the end of this Kentucky Wichita State game. Kentucky just hit 2 free throws to make it a 4-point game with 42 seconds left. It's about to be a wrap, Wichita State. Told you, man, there was some paper tigers.
He's gonna take them paper call.
Number one seed.
Ain't over yet, though. We just seen some crazy shit happen on them.
That's true.
All they gotta do is hit a three right here.
They just gotta get a bucket. They wasted way too much time.
Oh! I told you. All you gotta do is hit a three, homie. What I tell you, homie? I told you. All you gotta do is hit a three, homie.
He just threw that shit up.
Yeah.
Spike up. Don't let the white boy get a shot off. That's a rule.
And that was banged.
That must be his mama.
Yeah.
Because they keep showing her, you know, at every break. 1-point game.
That was fun.
Hey, 30 seconds left. 1-point game. Kentucky, Wichita State. So we're going to wrap up the show there so we can catch the end of this game. see if we can get up out of here before it comes back to commercial. But as always, man, thanks to everybody who took the time to download and listen to the show again this week. We can't thank y'all enough, man. We appreciate y'all for fucking with us, listening to the show, man. As always, find the show on iTunes, Stitcher, Podomatic. Just search for No Winter in San Diego. Leave a 5-star review on iTunes, on Stitcher. Subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, and Podomatic. However you listen to your podcast, subscribe to the show. We need more subscribers. We need more 5-star reviews. Hit us up. Send us an email. If you take the time to write the show, we'll definitely take the time to read it on the air. NoWinterInSanDiego@gmail.com. You can hit us up on Twitter. My Twitter account is @BlackRob, BlackRob. Dolly B is @DollyBZ619. Hit us up, man. We keep it interactive. You can chat with us, talk to us, send us an email, whatever it is, we'll definitely talk back. That's all we got for this week, really, man. It's been another good episode, another good week of sports. We're going to do it again next week. It'll be opening day of Major League Baseball.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
We might have some baseball games on TV while we record it next week. You know, Padres won't play until later on Sunday night.
Yeah, it's the Dodgers, though.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. That's always a good ass series.
Mm-hmm. Can't wait for that. So, yeah, man, we'll talk about that. Draft coming up. We'll have Bobo on for our live draft podcast. So we're going to keep doing it, man. Keep spreading the word, y'all. If you listen to the show every week, man, definitely spread the word to your people. Let them know, you know, it's the sports podcast I listen to. I like it. You know, it's funny. These niggas is real ignorant and funny at the same time. We appreciate it, though. But yeah, man, so we're going to get up out of here and catch the end of this Kentucky-Wichita State game. 76-74 Kentucky.
They on the line.
If they make both free throws, it'll be a three-point game. Mm-hmm. Wichita State can come down, let the white boy shoot another three. Don't let the white boy shoot! But no, you got to foul him to not let him get a three-point shot off.
Yeah.
Foul him, put him on the line, make him shoot two free throws. They're not going to do it?
Nah, they're going to do it.
They're going to let him get a three off. He going to make it to the white. Yep. Oh, he shot an air ball.
He was bad, too. He was bad, too.
Wichita State going to the line, though. So what does he got to do? Make one and
make
then miss one?
Make one and miss, yeah. There's only 8 seconds left. Yep, foul. That was a foul, though. Shit.
Yeah.
He had a wide open look, though.
I know. You
got
to
hit that, homie.
He shot it all off the corner of the rim and the backboard. Okay, got one.
So you can just go ahead and make this one, though.
I guess you can make it and then foul it in on the inbound and then go to the line again.
Yeah. When I was young, y'all, when because even if you do miss it, nah, if they get the rebound, make the next two free throws, you're down by four.
Yeah.
So I'll say, fuck it. Make it and foul. But I'm
all grown up now. So yeah, it's gonna be another 20 minutes for this game, though.
Yeah, but, shit.
That's it for us this week, man. We're gonna catch the end of this game, see how it wraps up. They ain't gonna be able to foul you. Okay, 7 seconds left, going to the line. Yeah, so we gonna get up out of here on that, man. We got real distracted with this game because we came down to the wire.
Real good.
It got real interesting. But that's it for No Winter in San Diego this week, man. Thank you again to everyone who took the time to download and listen to the show, man. We'll be back again next week. Keep spreading the word. And thank you all for showing love, man. You got anything else for the people, Dolly B?
I'm back.
This nigga a week-to-week Raider fan.
I don't give a fuck. I'm back, though, y'all. I may be gone next week, though. We'll see.
I'll fuck with that, though, man. Hey, you don't have to show no unnecessary allegiance
hell
to the niggas.
Nah.
That's cool. All right, man. That's it for us, y'all. No Winter in San Diego, and we are out. I'm from Greenwood, Miss, where a man is a man. And it was there I learned to keep life well in hand. So listen to me and hear what I say. When you play the game, play the go all the way.